Now, it's Heidi and Frank.
Nonstop for the next 40 minutes.
On 95.5 KLOS.
Good morning. It's Monday, August 2nd here at the Heidi and Frank Show, brought to you by your Southern California Toyota dealers. Thank you for joining us. Oh, yeah, busy weekend for the Olympics. See that?
I did see some of the Olympics, yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Any events stand out in your mind that you watched?
I watched the running.
The running.
I watched the ladies run.
Ladies running? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like them ladies running. I watched some fencing.
Yeah, I did too, and I still can't follow how to make. I don't understand it.
I don't know if they're actually doing moves or just two guys going, I'm going to hit you with my, you know.
I still don't understand it. I'm like, no, wait, is that a
skill level? I don't know.
I don't know either.
And how can they see through that damn mesh?
Frank,
let's get blindfolded and try to hit each other with sticks.
Frank, I think the same thing when I go to Disneyland. I think, how do they walk around? How do they see? I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Magic. That's the magic of it all.
Yeah, it's a busy weekend at the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. It was 2021. The number of records falling are being challenged across multiple events. I guess in the pool, American Katie Ledecky became one of the most decorated female swimmers in Olympic history, picking up her sixth individual gold. Ledecky is undefeated in every 800-meter freestyle race she's competed in over the past 11 years.
Amazing.
It sits behind only Michael Phelps in swimming gold medals. And on the men's side, American Caleb Dressel, ladies love the Dressel, joined Phelps and legend Mark Spitz.
Yes. At a party in...
No, it's the only U.S. men's swimmers to win at least three gold medals in the same Olympics. He also tacked on two more team gold medals. And on the track, you watched the ladies run, so you probably saw Jamaican Elaine Thompson Herah extended the country's sprinting dominance, posting a 10.61 second 100-meter dash. Time topples a 33-year-old Olympic record set by Flojo?
Yeah,
Florence Griffith Joyner.
She ran, I think, 23.7 miles per hour. And Usain Bolt was, I think, 27 miles per hour.
Yeah, he's like 9.3 seconds. So.
It's insane.
It's quite fast.
Yeah, and there were a couple photo finishes, too, where even when they slowed it down, I was like, oh, I still don't know who got that one, but she's amazing.
Yeah, Usain Bolt retired, so this is the first time the men got a race last night without the fastest man in the world. And Italy's Lamont Marcel Jacobs took over the title. Italy won the sprint. I'm like, what? First time they've ever won that. Mm. Posted a 9.8 seconds in the men's 100-meter dash. So, yeah. The Italian guy, wouldn't put money on him when they're going down the list. And it's like, he's that guy with the tattoos. I'm like, I can tell you he's getting last. I would have been totally wrong.
Yeah, you would have.
But what about the English guy? False start. You're out. The Olympics.
Mm.
He jumped the gun. You don't get to go back and start over again.
No.
Late. You're gone.
All of that training.
All of that.
All the nutrition. All of the deprivation.
Sucks to be him.
Yeah, it does, and big time.
Also, in the news, on the treadmill this morning, I don't know how I feel about it, but COVID-19.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No.
Here, it's good on toast.
No, I'm not going to. I don't think I'm going to try it.
Florida grapples with COVID-19 outbreak. Reported more than 21,600 new COVID-19 cases Friday. Its highest single-day total since the beginning of the pandemic. The infections contributed to a weekly total in the state exceeding 110,000 cases, with more than 400 deaths reported last week. Let's see. The caseload accounts for almost one-third of the new cases reported in the U.S. Florida accounts for one-third. They just don't give a damn.
You know who doesn't give a damn? Did you see pictures of Lollapalooza in Chicago?
Yeah. What?
That's just dumb. It's idiotic.
What?
The sea of people just...
Well, it's Lollapalooza. It's a music festival. What are you supposed to do?
I don't know.
Cancel it?
I don't know. When I looked at those pictures, I was just like, oh, my God, here we go. We're going to have the same story that you're doing about Florida, about Chicago next week.
I think it's dangerous anytime to go outside in Chicago.
Oh, you might be right there, especially on the south side. Yikes.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Yeah, you make a good point there. I can't argue that one.
You got a better chance of getting shot. Getting COVID just from going outside.
Walk on the streets of Chicago. What are you more afraid of? The Delta variant? Gotcha. Okay.
They have bulletproof masks in Chicago.
Yeah. We're going to have another damn lockdown. That's what's going to happen.
You think so?
I do. It certainly feels that way. I mean...
No, we won't.
All right. I mean, I hope you're right. But they're saying by at least by December, it's going to be bad again.
In what way?
The Delta variant, they're saying it spreads quicker than the OG.
Yeah.
And it's more deadly.
For who? Elderly people?
I don't think. Something came
people
across
who are vaccinated?
CNN this morning. And,
unvaccinated?
Yeah, I mean, we can get the Delta variant as well and then spread it to others.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Uh-huh. And your point? I saw a graph this morning.
I'm scared.
You shouldn't be. I mean, that's just, I mean, come on. You're vaccinated, right?
I am. Pfizer.
All right. They call it breakthrough if you happen to get it again. You know, like if you get COVID, not again. But if you get COVID, it's like a breakthrough case or broke through your vaccine. But you got it and you're not, you know, your symptoms aren't that bad. They say it might be typical common cold symptoms, sore mm-hmm. throat, maybe a cough, maybe a runny nose. But you might be able to give it to others.
Right.
Who, like in the old times, in the first OG, that if they get it and they go home and they're living with somebody who's susceptible, then they could possibly give it to that person, catching it from you. So it's the same thing, but it's like, okay, at this point, if you're living with somebody susceptible, get the rock off your head and get that person vaccinated because your symptoms are less, you're less likely to go to the hospital and you're less likely to die. I mean, very, very rare cases. And here's a little graph that I saw. I'll just have to hold it up for the studio audience because I know Johnny didn't have this. I just saw it. Symptomatic breakthrough COVID-19 infections. That's what they call it. Breakthrough. For people who are vaccinated, for every 102,000 vaccinated, there are about 100 symptomatic breakthrough infections, okay? And from that, one death. So here's the graph. The green of this graph is all the every 102,000 vaccinated breakthroughs, okay?
Uh-huh.
There are 100 symptomatic breakthrough infections. That's this little red square. And then this, if I zoom in on that little yellow square, is the one death. And so you're freaking out, thinking we all should shut down again. All those people
I don't think we should.
Those people are stupid for going out to Lollapalooza. No, they're not. Oh, no. It's so bright you can't even see my graph.
Yeah. You're just so bright over there, Frank. Shining bright like a diamond.
That's right. That's what I always do.
Mm-hmm.
I even showered on Friday.
So much has happened between then and now. So much has happened.
Maybe in your life, not mine.
Oh, all right. No, not mine either, really.
Nelman played golf yesterday, first time in a long time.
Bad or good?
Did well.
See? You just needed a little time away.
Yeah, just need a little time away from the game. Oh, now I'm sore as hell today.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't used the old swing muscles in a while, but it was fun.
It's a good
beautiful
sword.
Day yesterday.
Where'd you play?
River Ridge in Oxnard.
Ah.
Yes, if 3/4 of Floridians over age 85 have received at least one vaccine dose, that's good. Almost 84% of those aged 75 to 84 have taken their first shot. More than half of all U.S. deaths have come from those aged 75 years of age and above. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Preliminary data shows vaccinated individuals who contract the Delta variant while almost always experienced mild symptoms may carry similar viral loads in nasal passages.
Oh, my God.
To those who are unvaccinated.
I'm full. I got a viral load in my nasal passage.
Yeah, suggesting that, they may help drive transmission of the virus. But like I said, if there's a vaccine available and you don't want to get it, it's just your own personal assessment of risk. I don't think it should be locking stuff down because if we have the ability to get vaccinated. If you don't want to get that for whatever reason, I respect that. But you can't, you know, blame me later if you happen to get sick or you, you know, your symptoms are way worse than mine if I get sick.
But you will, but they will, those are going to be the people who cause the shutdowns. Not us. We're vaccinated. But the people who are getting sick, who aren't vaccinated.
That's why I think
there's a lot
be.
Of them. And I think then it's like, oh, these numbers of unvaccinated. And then now it's like, well, great. We're
That's
shut down.
That's why I don't think it will be. They'll never shut it down.
Hope you're right.
They can't. Because there are vaccines available. Like I said, assessment of risk. You could say, see, the people who get vaccinated are traveling by plane. The people who are unvaccinated are traveling by car. Meaning, like, if you go to work, it's not like the feds are saying, if you want to be a federal employee, you got to get vaccinated or you have to get COVID checks all the time, which is very inconvenient.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, okay, we'd like to fly to New York. It's a lot quicker and easier to fly there as opposed to drive there. Very inconvenient.
But you have to be vaccinated to fly.
You got to drive. I'm just doing the whole flying versus driving scenario as far as getting people's mindset on what this really is. So you're taking zero risk of dying in a plane crash if you're choosing to drive. That's pretty much what the vaccine people are, or unvaccinated are doing. I don't want to take the vaccine, so I don't take the risk of whatever's in that vaccine away. Whatever's happening there, it's not going to happen to me. It's going to happen to people who got vaccinated. Okay, fine. That's great. We're choosing to fly. There's a chance that the plane might go down.
So we're both taking a risk.
You take a risk in life, whatever you choose to do.
Right.
Yeah, planes crash. People die in crashes, but we don't get rid of planes. We don't ground them all. It's like just your assessment of risk. Well, I'm afraid of flying, so I guess I'll drive. Who's that one guy? Sports guy who was on Monday Night Football.
John Madden.
John Madden.
Yeah, he's afraid to fly.
Well, I wasn't thinking of him, though. Tony Kornheiser or something? Wasn't he supposed to be a Monday Night Football analyst and had to quit because
he wouldn't travel?
He wouldn't fly.
Yeah.
So to do that, you got to drive all over the country. Very inconvenient for him. So what do? He quit his job.
Man.
Because he had to. Because kind of the same sense where if you want to say he was required to get vaccinated, which is flying. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can't do it. I'm going to have to get COVID tested, which is driving. It's a pain in my ass, so I guess I just can't do the job. That's where we're at. The assessment of risk. But they're not going to shut everything down because you... That's just not going to happen.
Okay, I hope not.
So if half of people or over half of people have been vaccinated, then that's just not going to happen. People just don't want these vaccination passports. They don't want to be made to have to do something. I saw a couple signs this weekend. Vaccinated, mask, no mask, optional. Unvaccinated, you got to wear a mask. Like they might have been at the golf course. Like when you're going inside the pro shop. Saw that sign stand. I was like, okay, sweet. I'm vaccinated, don't need one. They didn't ask me for my vaccine card.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. It's like somebody could walk.
Just up on, but who cares?
Yeah.
If they just walk in, why am I trying to protect them? It's my own assessment of risk.
Yeah.
We're not going to shut everything down because I'm trying to protect you. My God, this is the most selfish I think the world's ever been, and we're sitting here trying to protect each other. You kidding me? Do whatever you need to do for yourself and your family, and shut the F up. If you die, you die. No matter what side of you fall on. If you die from vaccine, you die.
He dies.
If you die, he dies. It's where we're at because there's an option you have to protect yourself. If you don't want to do that, then don't do that. I don't care. I respect your choice not to do that. But here we are. I mean, yeah, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least it's happening in Florida. That's the good news.
That's true. Hey, yeah, look at that. Let's cue the piano music.
Getting back to the good news. No.
But they're not going to shut Florida down.
No.
That's their thing. No. They want to have a sea of this there.
Yeah, they don't care. Even that's a place where a lot of old people live.
Am I the only one that can't focus on this conversation because Frank's wearing a V-neck?
You like that?
I did notice it,
yeah, because
Eric.
I wore a collared shirt playing golf.
Oh, you got a nice.
And so tan. I got a nice V-tan right here. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to use it.
Yeah. And those little hairs.
Show off my V-tan.
See, Heidi, COVID-19 is sort of like all the hairs all over Frank's body.
Yep. Yeah.
But all the hairs are protected by his shirt, except for just a few that chose not to be vaccinated.
Those
are the unvaccinated hairs.
And you're right.
See how irritating those people are?
I think what I know is the microphone blocks it.
Your beam's in the way. I can't even see him.
Yeah, the microphone blocks it for me. So it's only when he steps away from the microphone that I can see like that.
Hey, look at that. This should be a VIP watch.
I feel like you're about to make me a great deal on some jewelry. Listen, my friend.
My friend.
Well, unlike you, I'm not Amish and make my own clothes. Okay? I actually go shopping like normal people.
No, Eric makes this. Right there in his basement.
Yeah. Get out your sewing machine, Eric, and shut up. Make me a collar.
Make it white, like a big.
You make me a white collar, so I look like a nun. let's see other Olympic news outside of the U.S. medals. Venezuelan Yulimar Rojas breaks 26-year-old triple jump record. Don't know how far that was. Didn't see it. Didn't see the triple jump. Even though it's always fun to watch. It's like, why is this a sport?
Something we've been doing since we were 4 years old. Watch, I want to see how.
The other sports you might be doing other times year round, like swimming.
Yeah, right.
But as far as like, just let me hop on one leg twice, it's like extreme hopscotch. Boom, boom, boom. And I jump and land as far as I can.
It's playground Olympics.
Yeah, and you see people. It's kayaking competition. You see people kayaking on a regular basis. It's
that's right. Running.
I've never seen someone just at park triple jumping.
Yeah, you never see those people practicing.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Never seen one person practice that.
Interesting.
That's why I was wondering about the long jump kid. It's like, I mean, I'm sure there's great athletes out there who could possibly do that, but they just do some other sport.
Right.
Never been introduced to triple jumping or long jumping.
Yeah. Hey, guys, come over the weekend. We're going to grill out. We're going to, we got the long jump thing set up in the back. It's over by the horseshoe.
We're going to play cornhole and a triple jump later.
Yeah.
Drunk triple jumping.
Swing by. It's going to be fun.
Come on. Lay down in the yard, kids. We're going to jump over you.
You might want to bring a change of clothes. It could get sandy.
Not familiar with this guy. Maybe the show's too old. The Lone Ranger. Was that the series on television? Saginaw Grant, the Native American actor, best known for The Lone Ranger, dies at 85.
Oh.
Saginaw Grant.
What a name. Old school name. What'd they call him for short? Probably just Grant.
Old Saggy.
Yeah, you can't go with anything from the first name. Sag? No. Call me Grant. I'm good with that.
New York City's Broadway theaters to require proof of vaccines and mask at all 41 of its venues. So you got to wear a mask if you're going to Broadway.
And be vaccinated.
So yeah, if everybody there is vaccinated and they're still making everybody inside wear a mask. It's so we don't spread it to people who are vaccinated who won't have any symptoms, but who might give it to somebody on the way home, is going to go home and give it to their grandma who just might die.
I guess so.
I guess that totally makes sense now.
Yeah.
In science and tech, actually, no, I got one more thing in sports and entertainment. I don't even know what this is, but the U.S. tops Mexico 1-0 in extra time to win the 2021 CONCACAF Gold Cup. And their seventh Gold Cup title ever. Is that soccer? I don't know. CONCACAF. CONCACAF. I don't know what the CONCACAF is, but they won the gold.
It sounds.
What is the CONCACAF?
I'm seeing exactly what you're saying, and you are pronouncing it the exact same way I would.
But I don't even know what that is.
Yeah,
what sport is
CONCACAF.
It seems to be soccer.
Okay. Well, we won. 1-0.
Hmm.
Now moving on the treadmill to science and tech. Study pinpoints blood marker suggestive of which vaccinated or previously infected patients are most likely to be reinfected by the coronavirus.
Ooh, I'd take that.
But you don't even have you haven't had coronavirus yet. So why would you take that? I don't know if you can take it.
Oh, I thought you said you can't take a blood test. I thought it said vaccinated or people who've had it. What'd you say again?
I said CONCACAF.
Oh, CONCACAF. That's where I got stuck.
A study pinpoints blood marker, which means what? Take a blood test, and they're like, okay, you're positive for this, right? Suggestive of which vaccinated or previously infected patients.
There you go, vaccinated patients, yeah.
Are most likely to be reinfected.
Oh.
by the coronavirus. So if you were infected once you got vaccinated,
got it.
You get reinfected. So how about we just quarantine those people? Let's get the blood test. If you're most likely to get reinfected, stay home. Scientists also identify a natural barrier to the regeneration of inner ear sensory cells. Studies suggest a path to addressing age-related hearing loss via gene therapy.
That'd be great. And my father-in-law could hear.
What?
I wish they could figure out something to fix vertigo.
Huh?
That and seasickness. That's what I would.
You have vertigo?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's an old lady menopause thing.
No, that was a amusement park ride that I went on that I've not been right since. Cause
With old lady menopause.
No, that's probably true, too.
I think it says that on the sign outside. It's like, are you pregnant? Are you an old lady with menopause? Do not ride this ride.
I wish I'd have seen it.
Heart conditions?
Yes, right. Yeah, I wish I'd have seen that sign. Ain't been the same since.
OLM syndrome?
Old lady menopause. Yeah. OLM.
You didn't know what the OLM meant. OLM meant. Got on it anyway. Harry Potter screwed you up for life.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to mention any names, but wonderful ride. Just not for OLMs.
Stay off at OLMs.
Mm-hmm. Stay off all rides. I can't ride anything.
Yeah, pretty much. What
I
are you
can't
doing?
Ride anything.
At this point in your life, what
I can't
are
even
doing?
Get on a swing. That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
We're going to puke.
As far as Blue Origin, that's Jeff Bezos' space flight company.
Mm-hmm.
He was all upset that NASA gave a contract to Elon Musk for a 2024 crewed mission to the moon. And he wanted in on that. He's like, wait a second. You know, it wasn't when you're supposed to allow contracts, multiple people to bid. They just automatically gave it to Elon when he was the only one bidding at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the only one bidding at that
Bezos
time.
Bezos wanted them to reach out to him? Just we've been talking to Elon.
No, he wants to go, no, I want in that on that, a chance to get that contract that's already been given.
Right.
And they're like, sorry.
We're fresh out of money. It's not like NASA's rolling in the dough.
Take your stupid cowboy hat and get out of our office. That's actually what they said. In business and markets, wow, federal rent moratorium lapses. But in California, that's not the case, right? In California, they extend it to the end of September or something. But as far as other states, the federal rent moratorium lapses. Roughly 3.6 million Americans could face eviction in the next month after landlords challenged the order in court. Because I think Biden wanted to extend it. It's like, then you got to pay everybody's rent. Because the landlord's getting screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So that thing lapsed, and I think they challenged it in court, but the court said, no, people got to start paying rent again.
Yeah, I mean,
but like, but right when the Delta variant's getting out, now they're going to take their homes away. Pay your rent. You won't get your home taken away. And the price of U.S. goods and services, the common measure of inflation, rose 0.4% in June. Below expectations. So everyone's thinking, going into an inflation period, but it was below that, below May's 0.5%. So it's going the right direction, I guess.
Now get back to work.
Now get back to work and pay your rent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're not the only place that's on edge about this whole possible lockdowns or vaccine passports. An estimated 200,000 people protest across France demonstrating against the upcoming requirements for COVID-19 vaccine passports to enter a range of venues over in France. Wow. They finally stood up and fought about something.
I do not want to get vaccinated, you know?
Is that your French?
Oui. Yes.
Yeah, we went out to breakfast this weekend. My little sister was in town with her two daughters. And so, and then my daughter brought a guy to town.
Ooh. Different guy?
What do you mean? Than the last guy? She didn't bring home that many guys.
No, I'm saying... the same guy that she's been dating for a while that wouldn't come meet you or something, that guy?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There's a guy that didn't want to come meet you guys you talked about?
Not that guy. Okay. That guy's gone.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
That idiot's gone.
Okay, gotcha.
No, I met the new guy. Nice guy. Not too bad.
Good.
I pulled out the dig tussie. I'm like, hey, man, want to taste my beer? He goes, I don't drink. I'm like, oh, alcoholic. No wonder she's in love with him. No, he's never had a drink in his life. Like, wait, you've never drank at all in your life? Not even. So you've never tasted beer? A beer's never touched your lips? He's like, no. I go, well, you wouldn't even know if this is good or bad if I let you drink it. If it's going to be your first beer, you'd never even know. So, yeah, never drank anything in his life.
Nice clean liver.
Yeah.
A little jealous of that, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You wish you'd go back in time and never drink in your life?
I mean, I've had some good times, but yeah, to just have a completely clean body like that? Oh, yeah. I mean, I can try to undo what damage I've done, I suppose.
Now, that is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
What?
You want to go back in time and never drink again?
No, no, no. I said I don't. I said I wouldn't do that because I've had some fun times. I said, but I can undo going forward. You can try to, like, clean it up.
You think you've damaged yourself so much from alcohol that you have a problem?
Well, no, I think anybody who drinks has damaged themselves.
No, I've had my blood test. I don't have any.
Well, I've had too.
I don't have any high liver enzymes.
Me either.
I would, but I don't. So I didn't do any damage at all. Suckers. Take that, booze. I win.
You're an Olympic athlete in booze drinking.
Hell yeah.
I'm
the Ledecky of drinking.
He's going to take the gold 11 years in a row. Or
11 years I haven't been defeated.
Yeah.
In freestyle drinking.
Silver's not even close.
Mm-mm.
Actually, you take all the medals.
Patron silver is closest I got.
Right. Yeah, you went to breakfast, yeah.
Italy and Switzerland also, too, about those vaccine passports. Everybody's a little upset about it. Oh, yeah, we went to breakfast. And it is a fun challenge for you and your family. I mean, if you ever do this, have everybody order with a different accent. So it's like, what are you going to get? It's like, I'll have the biscuits and gravy. And so the waitress has no idea what's going on. You know, it's just a fun little thing you can do with your family. And then the next kid will be like, you know, I'm like, what are you going to do? She's like, I'm really good. I'm like, then do death. He's like, I'm like an omelet.
Oh, my God.
And so as the waitress is going around the table, all of us having different accents. And it was so hard to keep a straight face. And it was like, whoever busted out laughing lost.
You got to pay for breakfast.
Yeah, you got to pay for breakfast. You start busting out laughing. You got to stick in character while the waitress is there. It's a fantastic time.
Oh, I'm doing it.
You have to.
I'm doing it.
I mean, for you and your wife, it might be tough for them like to really be thrown off by that. It's like, oh, look, this Russian girl's dating this French girl. Okay. Or you got a table of eight.
Yeah.
You know, and then everybody's got a different accent. It's like, what's going on here? At some point, she thinks she's in the Twilight Zone.
Right. Are you guys in town for some convention or something?
How do you all know each other?
My wife can't do accents, so we'd be screwed anyway.
How do you know? You try.
Oh, yeah.
Role-playing, you're like, hey, could you be a Bulgarian chick tonight?
She's like, I don't even know what that accent is. If she just doesn't.
She won't even try it?
She can't do accents. It's great.
Johnny, can you do accents?
Depends on which one.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I don't know.
If we were sitting at breakfast right now and we're going to play this trick on the waitress.
Can I take your order?
Then what accent are you pulling out?
I'll get some toast. How's that one?
Oh. Is that Angry Scott?
I think it's Angry Scottish.
Sounded a little Austrian to me. Sounded a little.
Sunny side up.
My wife can't do accents either, so we had her do Popeye out of the side of her mouth.
Yeah. I take me spinach. Me spinach omelet.
Give me spinach omelet, please. Right, just talk out of the side of your mouth. So if they can't do it, just give them something like that.
Yeah, Pirate could do Popeye.
Sure. Jordan, okay, we're at breakfast. You got to pull out your breakfast accent for the waitress. What do you got?
I got nothing.
But what?
I don't. There's literally, I would be the guy who just like shouts my order. Is loud a language?
Yeah, that's great. If you can't do an accent, you just got to do something. So you're shouting guy.
Eggs Benedict, please.
Eric, I know you're an actor, but I don't know if you had any roles where you had to have an accent. So you good at that stuff?
I mean, Southern, because I'm from the South.
Oh, you can do gay devil.
I can do gay devil. Hey, listen, I would really love to have some hard-boiled eggs, but can I get them runny? Oh. I'm hard-boiled, but runny. That's what I want.
Anything else? Is it sir? I can't. Madam?
Gay devil.
Can I get some biscuits and gravy, but I'll provide the gravy.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that white gravy. Oh, that's not right gravy.
Want a taste?
Oh, wow.
Stick with my pancakes.
Corey, if you had to pull out an accent at breakfast, what you pulling out?
We're going to do some sign language because I'm not good with anybody's voice. So you're going to get...
All right. Oh, she wants the Belgian waffle.
Yeah.
All right. Like, there we go. Belgian waffle.
With a side of bacon, I think. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people can't do accents.
It's fun. Do that.
Yeah, I'm going to.
And report back. Mm-hmm. You got to be a party of six or something.
Yeah.
At least. Mm-hmm. To make it really fun.
Mm-hmm. I do have friends, so we can. I'll wait till we go out with friends.
Yes, when you go out with friends. Mm-hmm. Is that the only time you go out for breakfast with friends?
No, breakfast is just the two of us.
That's what I'm saying. You can't do it then.
Not at breakfast.
We could really throw anybody off.
We could do it at lunch.
You only go for lunch with friends?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Why no breakfast? Because a lot of our friends like brunch, and I hate brunch.
That's breakfast and lunch.
Nah, it's not for me.
But why do you hate it?
Because I get up early, and I'm not. Now it's. Morning, and I'm like, well, got to wait till 11 to eat.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I'm up. Like, 11's lunchtime.
Sleep in a little bit.
I can't.
If brunch is tomorrow, sleep in till 9.
I can't.
Just lay there.
Dogs need medicine at 6.
My God.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'm on a schedule, Frank. I'm always on a schedule. I'm never not on a schedule. It's just a blast.
Self-induced blast.
It's a self-induced blast.
Also, a Republican-led House committee report supports lab leak theory as origin for the coronavirus. Ooh. Wuhan lab leak theory. Mm-hmm. And the Justice Department says IRS must turn over former President Trump's tax records to Congress. Federal judges give Trump's legal team until Wednesday
to
respond.
That's never going
to
happen.
We'll find out what's going to happen there, or not.
It won't happen.
It won't happen.
Or you'll just have some fakies. Here, give them these.
Is Aki back? I wonder what accent Aki would use. Remember when you used to have Aki do accents all the time?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Aki would be great to go to breakfast with for this game. Right, Aki?
It's a traffic update on 95.5 KLOS.
If you celebrate your birthday today on August 2nd, the Monday birthday, huh? But you celebrate with Charlie XCX turning 29. He's a friend of the show. He hasn't been on the show, but he's a fan of the show. Edward Furlong.
Oh, yes.
John Connor in Terminator 2.
He's come to a couple of our events.
He's turning 44 years old.
Damn.
I know. For you Avatar movie fans, Sam Worthington's turning 45. Played the old Jake. For you Weeds fans, pot-selling mom Nancy Bott won Mary Louise Parker's turning 57. Apollonia's turning 62. Oh, God. Why do you always choose the worst songs for people? Sex Shooter was the song from Apollonia. I'm your sex shooter, shooting love in your direction. That's how I'm ordering next time, is Apollonia.
Did you have to do that thing with your hand, though?
That's my sex shooter.
Oh, I gotcha.
Butch Patrick, Eddie Munster on the Munsters. Hasn't he been on the show, too?
I think he has, yeah.
68 years old. And from the band, Garth Hudson, turning 84.
From sex shooter into this song?
Yeah.
Come on.
See, Eric, you should have thought about that. Sex shooter and to put the load right on me.
I don't pick. I just go with the most popular.
So, oh, really? Yeah. That is the most popular, Apollonia?
No. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, today is National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. Yep. So celebrate appropriately. Mm. All right, what do you got in the news?
I got a sponsor for this news, but wasn't there a sponsor for those birthdays?
Oh, that's right. That's my bad. 6550 Realty Group will list and sell your home for a flat fee of $6,550. $6,550. Call 6550 Realty Group. At 888-510-6550.
And really quick, this is brought to you by Indeed.com. Want to mention this because if you're just getting up, there's lots to talk about the Tokyo Olympics. USA Gymnastics said today that gymnastics superstar Simone Biles would compete in the last event final, the balance beam, scheduled for tomorrow night. She's back.
She's
baby.
All right.
I guess.
I think if I was scared for my health, the balance beam's the last thing I want to get on. But hey, if that means she's back, she's back.
She's good. She's ready. It's going to be her first competition since she withdrew from the women's team final last week, citing concerns for her mental health and physical safety. Meanwhile, the U.S. women's national team was stunned in the soccer tournament semifinals by Canada. A 74th-minute goal was the only score of the entire game, so Canada took it 1-0.
So what's that mean?
So it means that we still have a chance to place to get a medal, but we are going to take on the loser of Sweden versus Australia to try to go for the bronze.
That's the best
we can do at this point.
Oh.
Also, America's Jade Carey won a gold medal on the floor.
Didn't Sweden already beat us once?
Now, who beat us first? It was...
Pretty sure it was Swedish girls.
Was it?
Mm. Well, they're taking on Australia, and then we take on the loser of that match. Take the shortcut to your next great hire when you sponsor a job on Indeed. Instant Match immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. And that's your news.
MTV's bringing back Cribs. In the first episode, Snoop Dogg takes us on a tour of his estate, and Scott Baio lets us look inside his Jetta.
I like that one.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come right back. We're Heidi and Frank.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's the Heidi and Frank Show on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
Heidi and Frank Show. 818-955-2955 is the number. 818-955-2955. You want to call and participate? A lot of people have been texting already, commenting on my analogy of being vaccinated and unvaccinated to flying an airplane and driving. Meaning, like, if you're vaccinated, they're saying, like, with federal workers, the mandate. Okay, I think here, you know, it's like, okay, you can get a vaccine, great. If you're not going to get a vaccine, you got to get COVID tested weekly, maybe multiple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they're getting the stick up your nose. It's just inconvenient. It's a pain in the ass. It's like, okay, I don't have to do this if I just get vaccinated. Okay, maybe I won't. When I was comparing it, the metaphor, flying in a plane or driving, the person who wants to drive is the unvaccinated. The person who wants to fly is the vaccinated. And the person who wants to drive, being the unvaccinated person, looks at a plane and goes, I don't understand how that thing stays in the air. It scares the hell out of me. How does something that weighs that much float around? I'm not going to be able to explain to that person how flight works. So they're choosing to drive. But there's probably a better chance of them dying on the roads when you look at the statistics. Driving, even though their sense of safety and risk is better for themselves in their own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's higher actually driving on the road than flying. But don't ground planes because people don't understand how they work. And that'd be like shutting everything down because people just don't understand how things work. You have an option. You can fly or you can drive. If you want to drive all the way, it's like, damn, you want to drive all the way like driving back from Oregon.
Mm. I'd rather fly.
Yes, because you've flown. You're like, oh my God, it was so much easier. It's wonderful.
Less than 2 hours versus 16.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And as driving might seem safer, you had to go around a wildfire. But I've seen people getting caught in wildfires driving. That's not happening in the air. But you can choose how you want to travel. You can choose how you want to get vaccinated or not vaccinated. Whatever. So at this point, we're not shutting.
I mean, they've
we
tried,
shouldn't shut things down. There's
tried
options.
Incentives,
there's
Frank. Options. People, you know, money incentives, prize incentives.
Yeah, so we tried all that. Then what's the point?
And it's like, I just think there are certain people you're just not going to change their mind.
Right.
So, it's like the vaccines are there for you.
I mean, we're not the A-team. We don't have to put Mr. T in a coma to get to fly to our next mission.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go anyplace. So, it's like, if you're choosing not to do it, don't do it. I don't care. Drive. I'll meet you there. Hopefully, you'll live on that 14-hour trip.
Yeah, I'll be there 2 days ahead of you.
Yeah, I'll be there 2 days ahead of you, having a good time, relaxing. Have a safe journey. You say that to whoever, even if they're flying.
Mm-hmm.
Have a safe journey. Yeah, planes crash. There's always that chance. Risk assessment. Hopefully you understand now. 818-955-2955.
I do always
trying to get.
I do find it funny because it's when people, like, one of the biggest arguments is, I just, you know, just don't know what's in that. This is coming from people who have been in clubs and done drugs out of caps from a Coke bottle or snorted something that you're like, yeah, man, I don't know. And you, really? You're concerned with what you put in your body? And as many of us are fat and obese in this country, it's like we put a lot of crap in our bodies that we're not sure what's in there. So that argument to me is always a little like,
you've let people in your body.
Right. That you didn't know.
Without a condom on.
Ew.
Yeah. Or you put your person in some body without.
You dipped your wick in somebody you had no
you
idea
know.
Where that's
like,
been.
Oh,
you're like, hey.
Taking the chance.
Risk assessment. Multiple risks.
Maybe if the vaccine made you have an orgasm, then people would be like, I knew it. Why not?
Exactly. Put up my arm and.
They send you off with a wet nap and a Band-Aid, and you go, have a good day. And you go, I'm going to.
Here's your shot. Go over there to the napping station.
Cigarettes.
I'll go nap for a little bit, get up, go back to work.
Yeah. 2 weeks later, go get another one. Nice. That's the fix, medical staff. That's the fix.
Well, nurses, do your jobs. All right, vaccine and handies heading down to the Dodger Stadium.
Just doing my part for America.
My vac's a handy.
They're doing it the old Handy J car wash there in Studio City.
Nothing's still open, Handy J. I think it closed a long time ago.
I think it did close. The hand stayed up, though, after the car wash was gone.
Yeah, I don't understand that. There's a car wash near me that closed down, but it was like always busy. I'm like, how does that place close?
Yeah.
What?
Jerry's Deli in my neighborhood in Encino. Closed down. All during COVID, packed with people, a line, a 45-minute wait.
A
45-minute wait for matzo ball soup that I wanted to order to pick up.
Because people were thinking that's the cure-all?
Well, I don't know. But it's that place was always packed. I went by one day.
Jerry's Deli always sucked.
How dare you?
No, really. It sucked. Its food sucked. Sorry. People went in there and then, yeah. They went in there once, maybe twice. Maybe matzo ball soup was all you got. The rest of the menu that covered the entire walls and ceiling sucked.
Yeah, I can't really speak to it.
Sorry,
Jerry. I've only ever gotten the soup and gone home. I don't even know that I've ever sat in a Jerry's Deli for food.
let's see. Want some good news? Some Monday good news, since it is
Please.
Monday. Let's turn on the good news muse.
All right.
And here we go. A family in Wisconsin got their dog back 2 years after it went missing. And they saw it on their local news station's Adopt a Pet segment last week.
Oh, my God.
I mean, come on. It's been gone for 2 years. It was at the pound. I mean, that's, or whatever.
They didn't
have
shelter. It chipped? I guess not.
They didn't have it chipped?
Yeah.
It was at the shelter. You didn't go looking for it. Until you saw it on the news.
Well, like, I have a cat that's been gone for 3 years. I'm assuming it's either coyotes or he's living with a little girl and he sleeps on her bed every night and he's fine. I'm not still looking. So if all of a sudden it was like, oh, my God, Vinny's been at East Valley Shelter?
If you saw Vinny on the news, would you go get him?
Well, yeah, I would. And you're like, you weren't even looking for him. I'm like, he was assumed dead.
Did you put up signs?
Oh, we did. We got a bunch of crank calls. It was horrible.
What do you mean, crank calls?
Yeah, I think I have your cat. I'm like, oh my God, where are you? I'll meet you right now. And then it would be like horrible things said to me.
Like what?
Things involving cats, that be another word for cats, or telling me that they cooked it and ate it.
I ate your.
Mm-hmm. Cat. See, they get you. They'd be like, oh my God, you found him, great. Because there was.
Weren't you giving him an award for the cat too?
Yeah, I was.
That's why.
So then I gave that every prank calls number to my brother.
You mean a reward?
What?
You said award.
Didn't you give out a reward? Reward.
No, you said award.
No, I didn't. Go back to the tape.
Congratulations.
For finding my kitty cat. Your gold.
Didn't you give out a reward? Reward. Just, I say it as one word.
He just mumbles.
Reward.
Yeah.
Sounds like award. Reward. Well,
you
award.
Win an award for saying reward most closely resembling award.
And you get an award for interrupting.
But yeah, I had a reward
yeah, I do.
Out. But I would certainly go back for him. Of course, he was a great cat.
Who wanted to run away?
Well, I don't think he ran away. That's my point.
How'd the cat get out? None of your dogs get out without you going out there because you're afraid of coyotes chowing down on them. How'd the cat get out?
Well, they don't need, because they used to have a dog door. Because I had big dogs at the time, so they were indoor-outdoor cats. They could go out and come back, and they did.
Indoor-outdoor cats in Southern California, you're just asking for drugs.
Oh, I, of course, wouldn't do it now. The cat that I have now, she stays inside all the time. But, you know, back then I was young, Frank. I didn't know better. So, you know, such a long time ago.
Cats are just mobile food trucks for coyotes.
Oh, I hate to even think about it. And he was super friendly, so he probably just went up thinking it was a dog.
Yes.
Because he lived with dogs.
Since you raised him around dogs, like, hey, look at that big Yorkie.
What's going on? My neck hurts. Hi, Jesus. Thanks for stopping.
Maybe they'll find a lost coyote for you. I mean, like, but it's Chip is from your cat. Still inside it.
Oh. Could you imagine? Oh, my God.
Yeah, we had somebody bring up a collar to the door. Just the collar. They found it. They were like hiking, found a little collar. It's like, oh, people might wonder what happened to their cat. So they brought the collar back and put it in our mailbox.
It was your cat?
Well, yeah. How do you think they know where mailbox was?
Which cat? Monica? Is it Monica? Or was this a long time?
That was Harley.
Oh, no. I didn't even know about Harley.
Oh, Monica got eaten, too. She was a cat in Tijuana.
Frank, you have Monica right now.
No, Monica's dead. Or she's sitting on the end of a little girl's bed sleeping. That's what I like to think.
Well, I like to think that,
too. Because I'm a grown man, and I can't take the reality of a coyote eating it. I don't know what I did.
Well, it's because you didn't love Monica. And shame on you for that.
Yeah, I hated that cat.
And she loved you.
Often just let it outside and lock the doors.
I was waiting for our good news music to start.
Yep.
It was hard to start it during that particular conversation.
23-year-old dad in Michigan ran into a burning house to rescue his 18-month-old twin girls. And once they were safe, he spotted his niece yelling from the second-story window, told her to jump.
Oh!
And he caught her. Well, that's nice. Jump!
That'd be tough.
Come over here! No, just jump. I'll pick you up.
Trust.
Would you rather be burned to death or have a couple broken legs? Oh, he caught her.
Hero dad and uncle.
But he went inside and saved his own kids first, then ran outside.
But he must have known she was there. How do you not know your niece is at your house?
Yeah, how do you not know?
You're over. When'd you get here?
Just happened to see her up in the window.
That's a little odd.
A delivery guy in England recently helped out with a different kind of delivery when a random woman went into labor. Can you imagine?
Your Uber Eats guy seeing your vagina? No, I can't imagine.
But I guess desperate times.
You deliver, right? I mean, you're in the delivery business, right? Yeah, can you think about this?
Just shut the door and try to do it like the old cave ladies did it?
Probably. I'm like, millions have gone before me without medical staff.
I'm going to get my phone. I'll call 911. You'll find me in the tub in the back bathroom.
Yeah.
And just try to deliver it yourself as opposed to, hey, sir, I'm in labor. Do you want to come back here and... No. Be in charge of cradling my baby's head as it falls out of me.
But I'm supposed to get this pastrami sandwich to... Well, yeah, I guess I could help. And he did fine. Baby's fine.
Doesn't say.
No.
Said he helped out. When a random woman went into labor. I don't know how much help he helped. More good news, a 66-year-old guy named Tony Carter... His name's T-O-N-E-E. Okay.
Well.
66-year-old guy.
Don't you remember Tony?
There was not, that wasn't one of the Tonys.
T-O-N-I, T-O-N-E.
And T-O-N-Y.
Was it Y?
Yeah, there was no T-O-N-E-E.
Hmm.
This guy's 66 years old, too. He's way older than Tony.
Yeah, Tony.
Tony, and Tony.
Yeah.
And this guy plays piano at the Atlanta airport to give people a little mood music on their layover.
Love it.
And a motivational speaker named Carlos Whitaker was enjoying it last week, but he noticed no one else was paying attention, and Tony's tip jar was empty. So Carlos posted a video to his 200,000 Instagram followers, and then guess what happened? Well, he asked them to send tips on Venmo, and he raised $10,000 for him in 30 minutes.
Damn.
When the story went viral, and within a week, it was up to 70 grand.
And they're going to split the money.
Wow. Carlos can really motivate people.
Seriously. Where are you, Carlos? Come on, put out a tip jar for it.
A waiter in upstate New York got a massive tip the other day. His restaurant sells little frozen pizzas that it gets from another restaurant.
What?
Wait a second.
Talk about not confident at all about your...
Do you really have a restaurant if you're buying frozen pizza from another restaurant and selling it? It's got to be against the law, doesn't it?
It's like incestuous somehow.
Yeah, so a waiter at upstate New York, he got a massive tip the other day. His restaurant sells frozen pizzas that it gets from another restaurant called Paisans. So the owner of Paisans ordered one for lunch and asked the waiter to rate how good it was. So the guy from Paisans knows this other place is just buying his and upselling it. He didn't know who the guy was, but gave him a 8.4 on a scale of 1 to 10. So the pizza place tipped him $1,840. First thousand would be nice. He tacked on the extra 840 for the good review. I don't even understand that story.
I don't either.
Sounds like it was just a story from Paisans to put it in the paper as the good news story.
It's like a marketing ploy.
Another lost cat story. You want to hear it? Mm. Back in 2015, a woman in Massachusetts lost her cat and inspired her to start a nonprofit that looks for feral cats. Looks out for feral cats.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 6 years later, she just found it. Someone a few towns over had been feeding him and took him to a vet who spotted a microchip. You see that? 6 years go by. Do you want that cat? He didn't have for 6 years.
Yeah, I don't even really want the cat I have, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's a bitch kitty.
But you love it. I hated mine. A woman in England dropped her wedding ring in the ocean while she was surfing.
It's over.
And someone found it 2.5 months later on her 17th wedding anniversary.
What?
I used to look for that sea glass.
Hmm.
A cop in New York named Ronald Kennedy got creative and saved a guy's life this month. He responded to a stabbing, and paramedics weren't there yet. But he had some EMT experience, and the guy was bleeding pretty badly. So he yelled for someone to get him a bag of chips at a nearby store. And he sat there and waited while he ate chips till the EMT got there.
Whoa, wait. What? How does this make news?
No. Okay, what? So he got the bag of chips. Then he dumped the chips out.
Okay.
He put the empty bag over the wound.
Okay.
And duct taped it down to stop the bleeding and keep his lung from collapsing. The guy pulled through.
Oh!
So he made him a lung out of a bag of chips. Is that what happened? So the bag was inflating.
To breathe for...
Hmm. That's the good news.
Wow.
Good news. It's always so hard to listen to. It really is. It's like, my God. Bad news is so much more fun, isn't it?
Well.
I guess this is good news, and Eric kind of mentioned it during his news. The U.S. Gymnastics said Monday that gymnastics superstar Simone Biles would compete in the last event final. Balance beam. Scheduled for tomorrow night. It'll be her first competition since she withdrew from the women's team final last week, citing concerns for her mental health and physical safety. So it's good to know that's all cleared up. Like I said, that sucked because that's the last thing she'll be known for. But now this won't be. She'll be back on the beam once she wins gold. And it's like, remember that? She took that break and she came back, won gold. It'd be like a super duper story.
Mm-hmm.
So good. She's trying to rewrite that, the ending of her story, and come back and do the balance beam. So I guess in honor of Simone, call us up and tell us about that thing you gave up on. And was it a hobby? Was it a career? A dream? 818-955-2955. Maybe we can tell you if you should try it again. Get back on the beam. Or maybe you were right to let it go. We'll tell you that too. Nah. Better stay in the stands. Keep clapping.
Don't quit your day job.
818-955-2955. What did you give up on? And we'll help you decide if you should go back. get back on the beam. 818-955-2955. Anybody?
You gave up on geology.
I didn't really give up on it.
Well,
I just got a different job. And I've been doing that job ever since.
So you would never go back to being a geologist one day? One day, like in your future, like in retirement, to go do water filtration systems in another country. You know what I'm saying? Like, go, you know what? I did this in college. This is what I studied. I was passionate about it at one time, and now I'm going to go and do good. No, I'm not saying you would do it as a job, but as a, with your knowledge.
I'd probably just go be a forest ranger.
Yeah, I can see that.
I just like the funny hat.
A hat.
And I get to carry a gun and a license to kill. So, you know, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I get to, like, sneak back past the, like, wooden fences to go to the waterfalls that you can't go to.
What's
as tourists.
Back there?
It's just too dangerous.
Yep.
I got to go back there. But, no, I mean, I think it was just that's a sliding door thing. I didn't really give up on it. It's like you went behind a store number. Or here, you know what it is. You want to go behind here. You don't know what's going to happen. All right, I'll take the door. I don't know what's going to happen. Turns out 30 years later, it's been pretty much the best choice that I've ever made.
Right.
So, anybody else give up on something?
Yes.
Eric gave up on acting. Or did acting give up on you?
Yeah, it really gave up on me. I wouldn't have this job if they kept hiring me.
Right.
But I was like 32 going out for 18-year-old roles, and they were like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
I thought you were supposed to lie on your resume.
No, but they'd seen me for the last 10 years, Frank.
So, like, he can't still be 18.
The same casting directors, they don't retire and move on and go to other cities. They work and work and work and hire for the same things over and over. So you've got teenage casting directors, people who are really good at that. So I was seeing them all the time.
They even have letters after the name. What's that letter? What are the letters like? Casting by so-and-so, CSA.
Mm. Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest. I have no idea.
I have no idea what that means, but it's like, like PhD, I was like, wow, casting directors have some casting director associates. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that is means. Either. Mm-hmm. But maybe one day I'll be the cool
But that's a job
dad.
You get into and you never get out of casting directing?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're a good, well-known casting director, they just come to you for everything.
So it's a very small world.
Yeah, always become best friends with the casting director. If you're an actor listening right now, the best thing you can do is volunteer to do reads with casting directors. That's one of my major regrets that I didn't do, is sit in the room and be the other guy, not auditioning, the one reading the script with the people auditioning. Because then you become buddies with the casting director. You're working for free. You're not going
to
get
paid. But it never
paid.
Seemed like the person reading with the person who's auditioning is really trying to...
Because they were another casting director. They were probably
yes,
another.
That was like an assistant or somebody. Yeah, they didn't get a real actor who wanted to be there. And then you get to watch other people audition and hear what the casting directors say about that person when
behind
they
their
leave.
Back when they leave.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You get to know exactly what they're looking for. Volunteer to read the script.
When did you realize that? Like, damn it.
Too late.
That was the back door in.
Once my friends started doing it and getting jobs because of it.
Like,
it seems like such a simple thing.
I know. So easy. I mean, you're going to spend your whole day not getting paid doing it, but it's such an education. It's I can't
wow,
believe
that's a good
I
tip.
Never did it.
Yeah. That's a really good tip.
There you go. So acting, are you going to go back to acting? Maybe that was your dream, never quite panned out.
Yeah, I mean, mine's like your geology. It's like the sliding doors. Well, that's what I wanted to do. It's what I thought I wanted to do. But then this happened, and like you said, it's been successful. So maybe I could see myself doing a production at the Palm Springs Playhouse in the future when I'm retired out there and I just do it because I
when they do their stage rendition of Cocoon.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it'll be back in my life at some point in some capacity one day. Am I going to be Julia Roberts? No, I'm not going to be Julia Roberts.
Unless you're doing the town theater version of Pretty Woman.
Right, which even then I wouldn't be that character.
Why not? How many people in the town are actually auditioning for Pretty Woman?
But she's young. She's a 22-year-old young streetwalker. I doubt I'm going to get that role.
I don't think town playhouses are really into really making it. Let's cast it
realistic,
perfectly.
Yeah. I actually look more like Richard Gere's character at this point.
He's more like the gerbil.
Hey, wait a second. But, yeah, I mean, I could see myself, not for big bucks or anything, but just for the love of the game, one day.
Elise gave up singing. Wants to know if she should get back
hey,
on the
Frank
beat.
Hey, Frank and Heidi.
Hi.
Hello, Elise.
Hey, so I actually sang for you guys last week, and I was curious what you guys thought about it.
It was really good.
Yeah, do you think I should give up on it? It's been a few years since I've actually tried to pursue it, but...
What do you do now, though?
I'm an architectural estimator, I go through architectural plans and whatnot.
Yeah, that's got to be kind of boring.
It's not as boring as you would think. It's a lot of math, so the day goes by really fast.
And the plans are always different. You're like, oh, look at this.
Yeah, that's the plan. And I work a lot for the jobs like in Malibu and, you know, like Pacific Palisades.
Big, beautiful
and
homes, all of those.
Yeah, big, big, beautiful homes that take a few days to finish. So it's actually really nice, but music's always been such a calling of mine, and it's always touched my heart in such a different way. And I don't know, something ever since last week, it's been kind of pulling me back that way. So I was wondering what you guys were thinking.
Let's see. What song did you sing last week?
I sang Whole Lotta Love by Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
A Whole Lotta Love. Yeah,
she's really good.
Oh, yeah. But I always hate it when women cover Led Zeppelin.
What?
Like it when women cover Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, for some reason it always irritates me.
No, it's okay. It's like, well, a lot of women can't hit the notes that Robert Plant can hit because he's got that raspy tone to him. But I do, so I would take that back.
Like, I love Miley Cyrus, and she'll cover, like, some Led Zeppelin. I'm like, oh, Miley, don't do that.
Well, Miley's got a little too much rasp on her.
Right, right.
Yeah, she's got too much. She's not rock and roll enough.
What do you think? Should she give up architectural plans and be a singer, try to get into that game?
I don't know why she can't do both.
I can.
Because that's not the topic.
Well, okay.
The topic is, like, you gave up. Should you ever go back? So she can't do both. Like you either going to sit in the stands like Simone Biles or go back to the beam like she's choosing to do on Tuesday night. So she's going back to the beam. Like, I thought this was going to be the end. Like, that's the end of her career. Like, she did it. She's hit all the peaks of a gymnast's career. So why go back? But she has to go back because she doesn't want to end it like that, which I totally respect. So, yeah, going back and finishing the job.
She has
unfinished business being a singer. Should she go back and finish the song?
As for Stair, I listen to a lot of music that we get.
Yep.
And there is a lot of talent out there, and I don't think she cuts it. So I think you should just continue on the architecture and make sure you keep that as your main priority.
Stick with the architectural plan.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, no, honesty is the key, man. Seriously.
Thank you.
It really is. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I hope you guys have a good day.
Thanks, Elise.
She's crying right now. You can tell she's getting off the phone quickly because she wants to go sob. Hey.
It's either sob now or sob later when she had something else going on that wasn't going
to
work out.
She can't go back to work.
Yeah.
Now she's just singing on the street for money. Do that or selling her body.
Oh, architecture will always be there, Elise. Go back to that at some time in the future.
Ash wants to know that she go back to selling crochet.
No.
Troy says he has the bag of chips explanation. Why the bag of chips on the long help.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And Ren wants to know if he's jumped back in on love.
Yes, always.
Or just give up on it.
Always jump back
give
in
up,
on love.
Give up on love.
Jump back into love.
Sorry, Ren. Love always ends with hurt.
Oh, my.
You love something so much that it dies on you.
Well, yeah, that does happen.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Don't write for Hallmark is all I'll say. don't have the
I shouldn't go back to my hobby of writing greeting cards?
No.
For Valentine's Day?
I don't think so.
All right, I won't do that. All right, let's get some traffic, Aki.
It's just funny every morning.
It's consistently good.
I'll drink to that.
It's the Heidi and Frank Show.
Now. On 95.5 KLOS.
Audio Frank Show. Yeah, we added a bunch of golds in swimming, and those events have finished up now. Katie Ledecky dominated the women's 800-meter freestyle. Bobby Finke snagged gold in the men's 1500-meter freestyle, and Caleb Dressel won three more gold medals. He snagged one in the 100-meter butterfly, 50-meter freestyle, and was part of the men's team that set the new world record in the 4x100-meter medley relay. I thought they were setting them up to fail. They're like, oh, they're in lane one. You know, we haven't lost in 14 years.
Oh, I hate when they do that.
And I was like, oh, no.
Shush, Jinxie.
Totally screwed.
Yeah.
They set a world record. Also, golfer Xander Schauffele took home gold with a clutch par on his final hole. And we had a bunch of silvers in swimming, track and field, BMX, gymnastics, weightlifting. As far as the medal count goes, as of last night, U.S. has 60. 20 gold, 24 silver, 16 bronze. China has 51, 24 gold, 14 silver, 13 bronze. Russia, 44. 12 gold, 19 silver, 13 bronze.
What do we say China pays per gold medal? Like
$737,000. Hell yeah.
That would be nice.
And we pay $37,000. They pay $700,000 more for gold than we do.
Hmm.
Did you see the high jumpers, longtime friends and rivals, decide to share the gold medal?
I did see that moment.
So it's like, okay, you guys have hit, I guess, your peak. You can keep going. Or you can just share the gold.
Have a jump off.
And we got to move on. And they're like, a jump off? How about a jump on? That's Johnny's mom.
Hey!
You gotta come back, Johnny?
Anything for him or his family or
yeah.
wife? Or?
Well, your mom is so stupid. She stared at a juice box because it said concentrate.
You know, Johnny, I'd give you my comeback, but I have to scrape it off your mom's teeth. Oh, come on, Jordan. Oh.
Oh, my.
That was too good. That was too good for the air.
Too good for the air?
Wow.
That's wow. Right?
It's just tragic that nobody heard that.
I know. It is.
It's tragic. Makes my heart sad.
That's, you should know better,
that's
Johnny.
That's a damn shame.
Back to the king.
Yeah, well, I used that one last week.
No, you
missed
didn't.
It. Yeah,
he missed it?
No. Well, I modified it because I knew that Jordan would dump it out.
That's why it didn't work last week.
Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah, I know.
Ugh.
Wow, that's...
But getting off...
how do we even
getting off
on?
Johnny's mom how back to the high jumpers.
Oh, like we ever get off of Johnny's mom.
Yeah, Italy's Gianmarco Tamberi and Qatar's Mutaz Esabashim shared the gold medal during the men's high jump final. They both completed a jump of 7 feet, 9 1/4 inches. Right.
I know.
The two men then had to complete a jump, I guess, just a smidge taller than that. Probably, I think it's like 7'10". But after three attempts, neither athlete could make the distance. It's just they couldn't do it. Couldn't suck in the butt cheeks enough. So, there's a tie. And they ask him, we can keep doing this. You know, or, they're like, no, let's share the gold medal.
And they hugged it out. It was a sweet moment.
When you read the story, though, they go up to the judge because the judge is like, what do you guys want to do? You want to keep jumping? They were the ones who go, can we both get gold? Can we do that? And the judge goes, I guess.
It's possible.
Oh, I guess.
So it was their idea. And then they looked at each other. They're like, we both just won gold. No,
yay.
You didn't.
It's like, hey, wait a second.
No, you didn't.
Just convinced this judge to give you gold.
Can we maybe just, like, both of us, maybe?
The participation trophy of the Olympics.
Oh.
Happens to be a gold medal. But, my God, what an accomplishment. 7, 9 1/4?
Wow.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How high do you think you could jump over like that? 3 feet?
I never thought.
You think you could do a yard, jump over the bar, and be able to land on the mat? Or the pad, or whatever the hell it is.
I don't even know if my body does that anymore.
Jumps and lands?
No, I think arches the back like that,
I think that's
though.
Just gravity,
I think with
Heidi.
My back, you know, like, I don't know,
oh,
that I can arch.
Like...
Back in the day. No, that was one of the competitions back in the day that I never thought I could do either. It was never like, oh, I think I could do that. Like, some of the others, I'm like, what?
Did you do a track and field event?
I did. I did long jump.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. Great long jumper.
What was your jump? Do you remember?
Not even close to remembering what that was. But I was good. And I ran the 50-yard dash. Is that a thing?
I don't think so.
Whatever the fast one was, not the long.
I think you might have been in like elementary school.
No, I was in high school.
I mean, 50. I remember running the 50-yard dash was in like elementary school because you were just so tiny.
Yeah.
So, and then the long jump.
What were the girls running at the Olympics? The one with the, that she finished like in 10 seconds or whatever.
That's 100 meters.
Okay.
100-yard dash back
yeah.
in the day.
Okay. So probably that.
What was your time on that?
I don't remember.
Really? You don't remember? It seems like something you would remember. Like, okay, your personal best in something that you, it was a timed event.
My personal best, the only personal best I can remember is my one bowling game, which I do have a trophy for. I bowled a 212 in a junior league. That's the only thing I remember. But I don't remember, like, my long jump, how long it was. But I was pretty good at it. But the over the bar like that, no. Or the
how do you know if you're good at it if you don't even know how far you jumped?
Well, because I mean, back then.
I always landed in the sand.
Always landed in the sand, never fell back. Never fell back.
Never fell backwards.
Yeah. No, and I have ribbons from it, too, at my mom's house somewhere or in my mom's stuff.
I think that was from 4-H, though.
Oh, maybe that was.
When your brother was showing you.
He was showing you, and I was a prize heifer. Prize heifer. I was never in 4-H.
Did I hear over the weekend, I mean, I got the strangest text from Keith. He's like, hey, I just tried some of that Dig Tussie, that beer, the Heidi and Frank show beer. And Keith came in my office, grabbed a 4-pack for himself for the weekend. By the way, we do make money from that. And so he drank it. He goes, it's pretty good stuff. He goes, kind of reminds me of the Bohemian Hopsody, that KLOS beer that was made years ago. I go, no, it doesn't. He didn't even drink it. That was an IPA, almost like a double IPA. It's nothing like that. It's a cream ale. So, I mean, I know he was lying. But he said, you know, we needed to make next. KLS needs to make its own bacon. I'm like, what? Has he lost his mind? I don't understand what the hell he's talking about. And then somebody later on the weekend says, yeah, you hear that we might not be able to eat bacon in California anymore? I'm like, what? Do you have the story, Eric? What is the deal with no bacon?
You've got it somewhere in one of those stacks over there, but we passed a law, I guess, that will prohibit the use of certain types of enclosures for pigs because we want more humane conditions in California for our animals.
Right.
But I think only 3%, if I'm correct with that percentage, only 3% of all the pigs in this country even match the qualifications that we've set for California. So the pigs that are being raised, we can't take their bacon. 97%.
So we have to get free-range pigs, which is all this is the boar problem that the whole country's having.
And so they're trying to get people to pay, or trying to get the government to pay to retrofit a bunch of these places so that we can keep bacon.
What do they want the pigs to have?
I don't know. I think bigger enclosures, I know for sure.
Okay, so yeah, at the beginning of next year, California will begin enforcing. Actually, so they are going to do that.
Yes, this is happening. Not been a January 1st. Well, we voted for this.
We voted for this?
Yeah, it happened.
Oh, come on. This wasn't just pork added to some other bill?
If you want children here in California to have money for schools, you have to also vote for this.
That was a politics and food joke.
Thank you.
Combined.
Now, California is going to begin enforcing an animal welfare proposition approved overwhelmingly by voters in 2018. All right, who voted in 2018?
I don't remember voting for this. I mean, I voted. Yeah. I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, I don't remember it being. Okay. It
must have been disguised as something.
That requires more space for breeding pigs, egg-laying chickens, and veal calves. I mean, they probably did the whole veal thing, and you jumped on that, but you didn't see it's about chickens and pigs, too.
Yeah, maybe.
National veal and egg producers are optimistic that they can meet the new standards, but only 4% of hog operations now comply with the new rules. So unless the courts intervene and the state temporarily allows non-compliant meat to be sold in the state, California will lose almost all of its pork supply, much of which comes from Iowa, and pork producers will face higher cost to regain the key market. So that means when you buy bacon, it'll be ridiculously high.
Oh, yes. It's going to be very expensive.
So now when you get the Baconator at Burger King, or is that Wendy's?
Wendy's.
It'll be like $70 for a Baconator.
Oh, I'm out. I'm out.
Johnny can give up bacon like that.
But you're paying. Look how much you're paying for cigarettes, though, Johnny.
I'm leaving California. Then I'm out.
Look how much you're paying for cigarettes. All cigarette tax.
Yeah.
You don't give a damn. Cigarettes are your smoky bacon.
Bacon? Come on.
You can give up bacon.
No, I can't give up bacon.
Then
oh, he's no, he's going to leave California.
I'm out of California.
Oh, you're out. You're leaving. Where are you going? Back to Rochester?
Texas.
Texas. There you go.
Where they give you bacon at the border.
Yeah.
You cross state lines, you get a package of bacon.
Welcome, sir. Howdy. Here's your bacon.
You've gone too far, California.
Mm.
Animal welfare organizations for years have been pushing for more humane treatment for farm animals, but the California rules could be a rare case of consumers clearly paying the price for the for their beliefs. So, yeah. With little time left to build new facilities, inseminate sows, and process the offspring by January, it's hard to see how the pork industry can adequately supply California, which consumes roughly 15% of all pork produced in the country.
So now we'll go be crossing the border and be like, hey, this weekend we got to cross the border. We got to go get some bacon.
Yeah, heading to Vegas to get bacon.
That's what people will do.
Having to stop for that on the fruit stand, bringing fruit in. Fruit or bacon.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, sir?
Yes, we are very concerned about the potential supply impacts and therefore cost increases. So are people like stocking up on that stuff now? Did you run down to your local
just
meat market?
Put it in the freezer.
Freeze it? You'd be selling bacon at the end of off ramps like flowers and bacon.
Or you can sell it you buy it for $3.49 and all of a sudden you can get $75 for a package.
Says California's restaurants and groceries use about 255 million pounds of pork a month. A month?
Whoa.
But its farms produce only 45 million pounds.
Wait a second. So this isn't only bacon. This is pepperoni on your pizza.
I guess.
This is pork. So yeah, this is...
This is everything. Everything pork.
No! What about the salami for my charcuterie board? Oh, no. Now you've hit a nerve.
What are we going to eat for Hanukkah? Talk about a group that doesn't give a damn. They're like, so?
Yeah. I shouldn't be eating that stuff anyway.
Not gonna miss it.
Nope.
All right. It's time for Augie's traffic. What's going on, man? All right. We got the news coming up. And then at 8 o'clock, it is 20 and 21. More news. 20 news stories in 21 minutes. But right now, what do you got, Eric?
Well, this one's about DaBaby. Did you hear about that controversy?
Oh, yeah.
DaBaby?
DaBaby. He's a rapper. He's a hip-hop artist, Frank.
DaBaby is the rapper.
I thought you were being very vague.
Did you hear about DaBaby?
Story about DaBaby.
Nope, this is actually a man named DaBaby, and he had a recent homophobic string of slurs that he gave out on stage about HIV and AIDS, and then he tried to clarify online, which only made things worse. He dug himself his own grave, and evidently, yesterday morning at the last minute, Lollapalooza dropped him from doing his scheduled set in Chicago. His comments and subsequent apology have been met with backlash from a lot of other musicians, and I saw he was just dropped from the governor's ball as well. That news just came through about 45 minutes ago.
You can't even say.
I mean, you got people know where the lines are drawn. I mean, if he has no idea and he actually tried to defend himself, a lot of people out there probably saying the same stuff and don't realize it's wrong.
I will say that in his defense, the video of his defense, he said, you know, I said that to a group of people who some are gay, but they're not nasty. They don't have AIDS. They're not nasty.
So if you have HIV or AIDS, I don't want you here. If you just S to D at the parking lot, I don't want you here.
But then in his apology, he goes, no, it's okay. Listen, none of my fans are nasty. So it's fine. They don't have AIDS or HIV. They're not nasty people.
If you're not S and D's in the parking lot, I'm not going to the festival. That's a sign you're at a bad music festival. Nobody's S and D's in the parking lot. I do have more signs at a bad music festival.
Oh, no.
The only aroma wafting through the crowd is B.O.
No good.
Another sign you're at a bad music festival. The only drug anyone's on is Lipitor.
Yeah.
Another sign you're at a bad music festival. If you close your eyes, it's like you're on hold with CVS. Another sign you're at a bad music festival. It's only after you jump into the mosh pit that you realize it's just the overflow from the porta potties. Another sign you're at a bad music festival. It's called Sucky Palooza. There's another sign you're at a bad music festival. It's full of entitled white people pretending to be hippies. Oh, sorry, that's any music festival. And the last sign you're at a bad music festival. You still remember it. Yes. All right, we're going to take a break. Come right back with 20 and 21. We're Heidi and Frank.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's the Heidi and Frank Show on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles. Heidi and Frank Show, a little after 8 a.m. here on Monday, August 2nd. Time for 20 and 21. 20 news stories in 21 minutes with 60 seconds on the clock per story. So you got to get all the information out before the bell rings. Ready, go.
Outback is adding new items to their menu to kick up the variety for steak lovers.
It's a blooming virus.
I haven't been to an Outback Steakhouse, and I couldn't even tell you where there is one. I used to like them when I lived in the Midwest.
I couldn't tell you where there's one either.
I got one by my place.
Look at you.
Yeah, out that
Lucky.
Way. Dang, Mr. Braggy Braggerson. Well, Outback
That's the Mortons of Santa Clarita.
I think you're going to like this, Frank. Outback is introducing a new bourbon-glazed bone-in New York strip made with Jim Beam brand bourbon. Not easy to say.
Jim Beam brand bourbon.
Especially after you've had a few Jim Beam bourbons. And served with two sides now. For app fans, there's also the new Dip Trio, three cheese steak spinach, kickin' pimento cheese dip served with a tray of tortilla chips. Both the Dip Trio and the bourbon glazed steak are available.
Three cheese steak spinach. What are you really selling there that couldn't sell by itself? Spinach. You added three cheeses to it. Now people are like, damn, I love this stuff.
We just learned about booze news. We just learned about booze news.
Because we're all children.
We just learned about booze news.
Yeah.
Let's take one more shot.
Less than 2 weeks after the Milwaukee Bucks won the 2021 NBA Finals, players around the basketball world will already be talking to teams about where they're going next. Monday marks beginning of the NBA free agency process, a drama-filled time period of signings and trades that'll shake up the basketball landscape on an annual basis. This year's free agency season, pushed back by delays from the pandemic, will operate a bit differently than normal, starting today at 6 p.m. Free agents and teams can begin negotiations, but players won't be able to put pen to paper or any new contracts until basically 12:01 a.m. on Friday, when teams are officially allowed to sign new players. Some of the biggest names on the market include Kawhi Leonard, who declined his player option for next year, Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, Lonzo Ball, Mike Conley, and John Collins. I like his brother.
Tom Collins, yeah. Ugh.
Story number three, 20 and 21. How is it August already, you guys? It's August.
Yeah. Second.
Yeah, so rent was due yesterday, but there are so many things to look forward to that aren't paying your rent. Like in the entertainment world, so many new TV shows to watch this month, so put these on your calendar. Reservation Dogs is August 9th on Hulu. I guess people are really excited about that.
What? Reservation Dogs?
That's what it says. Reservation Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
I mean, I would assume that this is a typo. I don't know what Reservation Dogs is, but it says Reservation Dogs.
I'll look it up
dogs.
While you do the story.
The check-in desk at a pet hotel.
Oh. And all the dogs all work there.
Marvel's new animated series, What If, which supposedly might tie into some of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's August 11th on Disney+. Brooklyn Nine-Nine premieres August 12th. American Horror Story, August 25th. And Archer, if you love Archer. That's been 12 seasons. August 25th.
Reservation Dogs is for indigenous teenagers.
Okay. You ever think that maybe some people want this pandemic and lockdown and everything just to keep going because they were doing well during the pandemic? Like companies that enjoyed that surge in sales during the worst of the pandemic last year?
The Lysol people?
They're confronting a new era of more socializing people and less socializing with an imaginary paper towel friend because they're not home. Mm. But Amazon, a poster child for the COVID boom, fell 7.6% Friday for its worst day in more than a year, dropping Jeff Bezos from below French luxury mogul Bernard Arnault on the list of world's richest people. Devastating for Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And devastating for other e-commerce companies in Amazon's orbit, like shares in Etsy, Wayfair, and eBay all fell as investors questioned whether they could maintain the COVID momentum. People are getting out more and doing things besides shopping.
Oh, no.
Said the CFO of Amazon, the company did bring in $113 billion in sales last quarter, but predicted that it would drop to between 106 and 112 for the current quarter due to what analysts are calling reopening headwinds. Oh, no. Well, reopening headwinds. We need more virus.
Two is better than one, right? We talked about this a little bit earlier, but worth mentioning again. Kind of a cool story. Italy's Gianmarco Tiberi and Qatar's Mutaz Esebarshim shared the gold medal during the men's high jump final at the 2021 Tokyo Olympics on Sunday. Now, according to NBC Sports, both athletes completed a jump of 2.37 meters. So that's 7 feet, 9 1/4 inches. The two men then had to complete a jump of 2.39 meters. And after three attempts, neither of the athletes could make the distance. Following the tie, they were called towards the official, who began to explain that they could continue with the jump off to determine the winner. Instead, Barshim interrupted the official to say, "Can we maybe have two golds?" The moment that the official told Barshim, "Well, it's possible," the athlete immediately reached out to Tiberi to shake his hand, solidifying the decision. Tiberi immediately embraced his competitor into a hug, eventually jumping on him to celebrate.
Is anybody flying anywhere? You guys going anywhere anytime soon?
Yep.
Taking an airplane?
Nope. I am.
You are?
Yep.
Okay. Well, if you're Frank, or if you're anybody on your way to LAX or maybe Burbank, one of those airports, TikToker Tommy Sammato is a flight attendant. Spoke to his over 160,000 followers about things you should consider while on an airplane. He said, "Do not fall asleep or lean your head on the window." He said, "You are not the only one that has done that, and you don't know how many people or children have wiped their hands."
Aren't we cleaning the airplane window in between? That's what I'm waiting for. There it is. We're waiting. There's a little delay.
Hey, it's a lame TikTok. What else? Unless he's dancing, I don't
want
to see.
In the same lane, Sammato warns against wearing shorts on a flight as well.
Yeah. No one wants to see that.
It's the same thing as the window. You never know how clean it's going to be. So if you have pants, you're going to have less germs on you. So don't wear the shorts.
So basically saying pants are like an ass mask?
Yeah, you get that person who's sitting
there.
Now
we got to wear ass mask?
Story number 7, 2021. Here's a few more things to look forward to in August. For me, movies. Suicide Squad comes out August 6th. Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds opens August 13th. Jennifer Hudson looks amazing as Aretha Franklin in Respect. That's also August 13th. And then Jordan Peele's Candyman looks terrifying as hell. That's going to be August 27th. As for sports, NFL doesn't really kick off until September, but I bet you guys are doing your fantasy football this month, right?
Yep.
End of August. During the draft. Yep.
So you got that to look forward to, as well as the Olympics wrapping up August 8th. And they're doing that Field of Dreams game with the Yankees and the White Sox. That's going to be August 12th. And finally, the big holidays. Frank is so excited for National Women's Day, August 8th.
How are you planning on celebrating, Eric?
And then Johnny's mom's holiday, I didn't realize, is tomorrow.
Johnny's mom, what's that?
National Grab Some Nuts Day.
Then
August 6th is International Beer Day. And finally, Kobe Bryant Day is 8/24.
Infrastructure week for real this time. After tidying up the final language yesterday, expect the Senate to pass the bipartisan $550 billion infrastructure bill this week before their August break. The House likely won't take a peek at the package, the biggest of its kind in decades, until September. Also, the jobs report, the Beyonce of economic data, the monthly jobs report will arrive this Friday to reveal how many jobs in the U.S. added in July. Economists are expecting 788,000 new jobs. But whatever it is, it'll be notable because Fed Chair Jerome Powell will use the report to help decide when to wind down the Fed stimulus programs. And more than 25% of the S&P 500 will report earnings this week. Some names to watch include Alibaba, Roku, CVS, GM, Etsy, Uber, and Square. Probably, like, Etsy was in that list of
hurting because the
possibly going down. Also, Uber,
mm-hmm.
Alibaba as well. Who knows?
All right, remember how the internet helped LeVar Burton? They lifted him up from reading Rainbow to guest hosting Jeopardy. Well, his episodes have finished airing, and they got mostly rave reviews. However, a new poll asked which of the guest hosts should be named the permanent replacement, and LeVar Burton only came in third place. I'll go from the bottom up quickly until we get to number three. See if you agree with these or disagree or care. George Stephanopoulos came in 10th. Robin Roberts, Dr. Oz, Anderson Cooper, Katie Couric, Aaron Rodgers, Mayim Bialik. Okay, so that's when LeVar Burton is the third favorite to be the permanent guest host. Executive producer of Jeopardy, Mike Richards, came in second place. And number one is Ken Jennings. They're like, you know, that guy that won the most Jeopardy games in history. People like him as the host. And 23% of people said, let's just put him in there in the permanent spot.
You know, movies, they always make baths seem so relaxing. Mm-hmm. But unless you've got a huge tub or you're 5 foot nothing, are baths really that great? A new survey found Americans now find showers more relaxing than baths. 41% said they prefer showers, while 32% said baths. And
who'd they ask, R. Kelly?
Hey.
I don't know if it's that kind of showers. 7% said neither
are relaxing.
They
didn't ask Post Malone.
Oh, yeah, no.
And 20% weren't sure or said they were equally good. Eric, do you like showers or baths?
I'm a bath guy.
Okay, yeah, this makes sense.
How do you wash your hair?
Women were much more likely than men to say the baths are relaxing. So that's why.
That's how I'm going to celebrate International Women's Day, I guess.
Take a bath, me too.
Done and done. There you go. He's not bathing until then.
Story 11, 20 and 21. Do you guys have a favorite hip-hop artist? I've never asked you guys that question.
I'm kidding. I don't know.
DeBrat.
Oh, I bought that on vinyl, DeBrat's album, when I was a kid. Funk is always going to be my favorite.
Yeah.
Jay-Z, probably the greatest. Yeah. Blackalicious, Alphabet Aerobics, greatest hip-hop song ever recorded. But
don't believe I know that one.
Now there is officially a hip-hop celebration day, and it's going to happen August 11th.
Hey, celebrate.
The Senate announced this passage of a resolution that officially makes August 11th Hip Hop Celebration Day. It's the day in 1973 that DJ Kool Herc and his sister Cindy Campbell held back-to-back school party in the Bronx. And it was there in the Bronx that they claim the birth of hip hop's music and culture came to be.
Raise your hand if you have a tendency to be a little bit jealous. Eric?
Yeah.
Jordan, not you, Heidi?
It depends on what.
It's almost insulting to your lady. But anyway.
I thought you meant
life. Here's a stat that'll make jealous people go nuts. Almost two-thirds of people who are in a relationship right now have someone else in mind who's waiting in the wings just in case things go south.
Ooh.
62% of people in long-term relationships say they've got someone on the back burner in case their current situation doesn't pan out. And there's a very good chance that person is an ex.
Oh, God, no.
Half of people who admit they have backup say the person they have in mind is someone they used to date. Almost two-thirds of people in general have stayed in contact with an ex during the pandemic. So keeping someone on the back burner isn't just something people in relationships do. A lot of us have someone in mind. 54% of women, 44% of men say they have slept with an ex before. And 1 in 7 specifically did it because they wanted to get back together with them. So,
oh, no.
There you go. You're that lifeguard.
No, I'm hitting this bell early.
Ex.
Putting diesel in a normal car can cause big, expensive problems. That's why those green diesel pumps won't fit in regular gas tanks. But that won't help if the mix-up happens at the actual source, meaning the gas station. A gas station in Canada got a fuel delivery last weekend, and their tanks got filled with the wrong type of gas. They pumped the regular gas into the diesel tank and the diesel gas into the regular tank.
And it was delicious.
So all of their tanks had a mix of both, and they didn't even realize it for 3 days. People who needed regular gas got 20% diesel, and people expecting diesel got 40% regular, which is really, really bad for diesel engines. It's not clear how many customers they had over those 3 days, but now a lot of people are coming forward with issues. One guy got a diesel by mistake, says his truck won't even start now, and it's going to cost $8,500 just to fix that one vehicle. And it's not clear if the station is going to cover repairs voluntarily. It sounds like people might have to sue Sweet James Bergener. Does he handle those sort of cases?
I don't know.
I mean, this gas station is responsible for effing up my car.
It's National Ice Cream Sandwich Day, so here's an ice cream question. Will you eat ice cream any time of year, or is it just a summer thing? Someone polled 30,000 Americans. This person must not have had any time. And most people say ice cream is good any time of year. 68% said year-round. 17% said only when it's warm outside, and 3% of Americans only eat ice cream when it's cold outside. Those are psychopaths. Women were much more likely than men to say ice cream is good any time of year. So, Eric,
well, because you're eating ice. I mean, I don't go out for ice cream. I mean, that's quaint and lovely.
You don't?
No.
Well, you eat ice cream in the privacy of your own home so you can cry?
While looking in the mirror, going, what am I doing? And now I have a brain freeze. But so you could eat
hug
it.
Me, ice cream, you hug
could,
me.
You could eat it any time of the year because your house is temperature controlled. It's not like, well, I go out. No, I don't.
Story 15, 20, and 21. Have you guys seen Fred Durst's new look?
No.
He looks like a guy you wouldn't want to watch eat ice cream.
Oh.
It would be very, very creepy to watch the new Fred Durst.
What did he do?
So he announced, yeah, that's his new look.
That's great.
That's real.
Wow.
So that's awesome. What he did on Wednesday was he eliminated every single picture on his Instagram page, all of them, throughout all of time, and just put this picture up. And now he's continued to post as his new look.
A serial killer because he has plastic on the floor at his house. You see that?
Yeah.
Go back, Johnny. Let me see the other one.
So he drew attention on Wednesday after deleting all those previous posts and surprised everybody with a rebrand. He's become instantly recognizable thanks to his usual combination of his shaved head and his backwards baseball cap, but he opted to transform and show a full head of hair, a well-groomed mustache, and everybody is making comments.
Who's Andy Kaufman's alter ego? Looks just like that guy.
Damn it.
Imagine being known as jetpack guy to a whole organization. According to the LA Air Traffic Control, a pilot saw what looked like someone flying in a jetpack east of the LAX airport. The pilot said there was a possible jetpack man in sight. Now, this has been in the news before, jetpack guy. They don't know who he is.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's flying around LAX. One traffic alert said, use caution, the jetpack guy is back. The FBI and the FAA are working together to investigate the reported sighting. Well, they have looked into three other reports similar to this, but still have no idea who this guy is.
Perhaps he's Tony Clifton?
Hmm? Maybe he's Tony Clifton. Jetpack guy! I'm a jetpack guy! FAI!
Got 10 more seconds. Keep going.
Oh, really? That was a short story.
All right, Matt Damon had no problem dropping the gay slur that starts with an F until a few months ago when his daughter told him to cool it.
Affleck?
Huh? Who'd I say? Oh.
No, that starts with an A, sorry.
In an interview with Sunday Times, Matt said he dropped the F slur at the dinner table and his daughter immediately got up and went to her room. Matt said, quote, the word that she calls the F slur for homosexual was commonly used when I was a kid. It's unclear if he was using the three-letter version or the six-letter version.
Probably a three-letter version. It's both. Dinner, you know what I mean?
Cash. He tried to explain to his daughter that he used it as a joke and that his character said the shortened version in 2003 comedy Stuck on You, but she wasn't interested in his excuses. Matt said, quote, she wrote a very long, beautiful treatise on how the word is dangerous. So I here retire the F slur. Understood. Matt and his wife, Luciana, have three daughters who are between the ages of 10 and 15. He also has a stepdaughter who's in her 20s. He didn't say which one of his daughters put him in check.
And he's
I'm guessing the lesbian.
With the rising concern of the COVID-19 Delta variant, Paramount is delaying the release of Clifford the Big Red Dog in theaters. The movie is done.
It's going to be Tony Clifford the Big Red Dog.
The movie is done and it was going to be released September 17th. But since Paramount is worried parents won't be taking their kids to the theater, they decided to delay it until it's safe. A new date for the movie has not yet been announced. But Clifford the Big Red Dog, didn't John Ritter, I think he did the series. He was actually Clifford back when on the cartoon series.
They should get Jason Ritter, his son.
They should. Well, they've already shot the movie, Heidi.
Yeah.
We'll go back and reshoot.
Yeah, it's only politically correct, Eric.
Only
Ritters can voice that.
Yeah, come on.
So.
We don't need actors.
Story 19, 20, and 21. Speaking of animals, Johnny, did you get that picture of a goose I sent you?
Oh, I did, yes.
Please show them this picture. It's a bizarre picture taken by an amateur photographer, and everybody on the internet is asking, what the hell is up with that weird goose?
Oh.
Look at it. Its entire body is upside down. It's flying that way. Upside down, but then it's twisted its head to be upright the correct direction. Look at that. How weird is that?
Maybe he's just been watching the Olympics, and he's like, let me see.
Heidi, you are not far off. That's what's weird. It's called
maybe
whiffling.
He's dyslexic.
It's called whiffling, and geese sometimes do this because it looks like a falling leaf. So to predators, it doesn't look like it's something flying. It looks like something falling.
So it's protection mode.
Yeah, but then some scientists and wildlife photographers got involved and said, in this case, one young geese may have mastered flying, and then they just start to see what's possible and how far they can go. It could be as simple as bragging to their peers, saying, look what I can do.
Okay, look, just like they can fly, the most amazing thing ever. Jeff Bezos. Ah. They're bored.
Oh, awesome. The wingman right there. From the outside, it looks like a regular house, but the inside tells a different story. A 6,000-square-foot home in Dallas, Texas, with no bedrooms or kitchen, is up for sale with a price tag of nearly $1 million. It was originally used as an electrical switching center, then used for medical office storage. Some of its other unusual features, the windows are mostly covered by brick inside, and there are two electric grids and three generators that use both diesel and natural gas. The realtor told the reporter, if you're getting ready for the zombie apocalypse, this could be where you'd want to be. So, yes, a house that's ready
for
the
zombie apocalypse. Like a full-on panic house.
Texas mansion. Could be yours. No bedrooms. On the market for nearly $1 million.
Ooh.
There you go. That's 20 and 21. 20 new stories in 21 minutes.
California hears that story and they're like, so, we charge two. Yeah. We charge two for it.
It's still be $2 million, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get some traffic, Aki.
Nobody escapes.
Heidi. Heidi and Frank.
Heidi and Frank.
There's no escaping them.
More Heidi and Frank now.
On 95.5 KLOS.
Heidi and Frank show. Almost 8:30 here on Monday, coming up at 9 o'clock. Christian Hahn's going to be joining us in the studio to break down a rock song for us. We never know what song he's going to bring to us. It's always a mystery, but always fun because you never listen to music the same way again when you hear it down to its individual elements, from vocal tracks to the percussion to the bass track to the lead guitars. Everything's broken down separately. Then you put it all together at the end. It's like, damn, I hear it now. Christian Hahn joining us at 9 o'clock. Now, we just did 20 and 21. There's a lot of stuff in science news. The week in science. I know it's Monday, but last week had a lot of stuff happening in science. The nerd news is what we call it right now. I didn't know this happened. Seems like it should have been reported. Maybe it was. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. But Russia's new science module docked with the space station. This happened yesterday.
Okay.
You know, you see it, docks, locked in, airlock, on board. Well, this is what you don't want to do, is hit the gas one more time.
It's like when you're trying to park by the garage door, and you're like, just a little bit more so you can get in, close the gate, get in a little bit. Right? Oh,
well, yeah, no,
oh no.
Didn't actually run into the space station. I guess they got locked on. All right. All clear. And then they hit the gas. So the whole thing starts spinning.
Oh, my God.
And so then some other boosters had to be fired to counteract the spin that was put in.
Oh, my God.
Now, here's the thing. Yeah, it spun 45 degrees before another set of thrusters spun it back. NASA claims the crew was never in danger. But at the end of the shift, the flight director in Houston tweeted, "Yeehaw, that was a day." I'm like, wait a second, he's the flight director? Yeehaw, that was a day. Okay.
He's from Houston,
he's
probably.
He's in charge.
Yeah.
In other space news, astronomers detected light coming from behind a black hole. This is for the first time, which seems impossible, but the black hole is bending the light. It's something Einstein predicted, but it has never been confirmed until now. So he was right. Also, in animal news, a study found puppies are born ready to interact with people. How would they know that? It says, we've been around them and breeding them for so long, it's hardwired into the puppy to know the first thing it's going to come out and see is people.
Wow.
I was like, how do you figure that out?
Even though, remember, I don't know if it was something my mom told me as a kid just to not mess with the puppies, but she'd be like, now don't put your hands all over them, and the mom will get your smell in there, and she won't take care of them.
That's birds. Your mom wasn't even close. A geologist in Canada may have found the oldest animal fossils ever. Let's see. They're from sea sponges that were alive 890 million years ago. Now, if they're confirmed, that's 350 million years older than the current record of any fossil. That's quite a bit of time.
He beat it by a mile.
No, seriously. 850 million years old?
I guess I never thought of a sea sponge as
an animal. It is, though.
Yeah.
Not the prettiest thing.
Well, no. When your name is a sponge, I would imagine
you have been breeding those for years because they're so fun to look at and play with.
Yeah.
You look like something your mom washes dishes with. Yeah.
Is that your comeback?
Yeah.
You know, I'd give you my comeback, but I had to. Yeah, that's big geology news.
All right.
Did they find this, like, on the top of the Earth, or did they have to dig down to find it?
On top, up in northern Canada.
I know, but is it just, like, sitting there where they just walked fossil. Up and they were like, oh, look at this fossil. This?
Then they date the rocks, and it's 850 million years old.
So not...
890 million
so years it's an imprint of a sea sponge on a rock in Canada.
That's way older than our oldest fossil record. 350 million years old.
I know, but they weren't in the ground,
like Proterozoic. Animals.
Yeah, because that's that was insane. Underwater, I guess, at that point, maybe.
Like, the animals that we know are, like, more Mesozoic era, which is 350 million years ago.
I don't know that, yeah.
So he's saying, how is a sea sponge on top of a rock? I said that was probably underwater at one point.
Yes, yeah, so it was an ocean up there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, most of the world was covered with water.
Okay.
The Holy Grail for clean energy is to come up with a battery that can store lots of electricity for days and do it cheaply. Now a company in Massachusetts called Form Energy may have done it. Their new battery can hold a charge for just over 4 days.
Ooh, there you go.
Okay. So it just holds the charge, or is it doing stuff?
Well, you just stand there holding the charge?
It's not dead yet. What does it do? Is it powering anything?
Right.
Yeah, batteries when they're just... Convert that into miles on the road. Like, yeah. You can drive 5,000 miles on a charge.
Right.
All right, sweet.
Your battery is sitting in a drawer. It's not really expending energy.
I remember when Google Glass was like the little glasses thing that people said that was the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people bought them and...
Their friends made fun of them and they never wore them
never
again?
Never really took off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next up for Facebook's growing line of products, smart glasses. They're coming back. CEO Mark Zuckerberg said in the company's latest earnings call that the smart glasses would be done by Ray-Ban. So now you don't look like a nerd. You're cool with the glasses.
I don't even understand how that's going to work.
The glasses have their iconic form factor, and they let you do some pretty neat things, said Zuckerberg. So I'm excited to get those into people's hands and to continue to make progress on the journey toward full augmented reality glasses in the future. So he's making X-ray glasses. Come on, Mark.
It's making... But augmented reality glasses.
You could make augmented reality glasses like with any filter. I mean, my God, the filters they can use
naked
now.
Naked people?
Oh, just, yeah, deepfakes.
I put them on, and I basically it gives you boobs, makes you nude.
Yep, deepfakes. You could hack it pretty quickly. But
you're not really nude. It's not really your body.
You go like, close, naked. Yeah. It's like that pen.
Based on the size of your body, like the glasses can look at it for filter reasons, and based on the size of your body, give you that size body naked and what it would look like naked. Probably down, it'd be pretty damn close. If it measured all your measurements on your body and saw like the beer belly and the folds and stuff and like the height, hair.
Bulge, yeah.
Based on bulge alone.
Mm-hmm.
Probably have so many naked bodies of those particular body types.
It's got to be one of these.
Like, put those things on, walk around work. That'd be hilarious.
It would make you feel, and your clothes, so you'd be like, no problem going to any meeting. You're like, okay.
You know, they said, like, yeah, Marsha Brady, picture everybody in their underwear. Yeah. You put on those glasses, give a speech, because everyone's naked.
You'd feel pretty darn confident behind the old podium.
Wouldn't that become addictive, though? You'd never take them off. You'd just walk around a world where everyone's naked. Your augmented world is a nudist planet.
But if it's Facebook, then Facebook's going to advertise before you can see anybody naked. You have to click off of them to see Heidi's naked body. There will be so many pop-ups. You'll probably get so many car crashes.
I know one pop-up right now.
Skip ad.
Driving down the road. Would you like to buy some erection pills? No.
But you've been staring at that naked
looks
girl.
Looks like you don't need them.
Oh, they're going to use this in so many evil ways.
Oh my!
I mean, especially if he's just going to the beach. I mean, there's not much for the imagination of augmented reality. So they just take off the bikini top and bottom, just give her whatever she's going to give her.
You're still obsessed with the nakedness.
That's all we do this kind of stuff for. It's Mark Zuckerberg. Look at it.
Mm-hmm. We're probably all naked right now. If he can make us naked anytime he wants.
Yeah. Once we get on the naked filter, no one's getting off of it. He just made x-ray glass.
Don't even bother buying clothes. Just wear the same stupid thing every day because you're going to be naked anyway.
Yeah, I'd be like, wait a second.
I wear this all the time.
Yeah.
Because I know it doesn't matter. I'm naked.
And anyway. It'd be interesting to see if you had the glasses on, you look at yourself in the mirror.
Oh, right.
You see your naked self in the mirror, then you're actually naked. And see how close that is to, like, your real body.
Real body.
What did it guess? Or could you, like, put that into your profile, like, my naked dimensions? So when people look at me naked, it's like, damn, Dirk. I got the Diggler going on. But yeah, Ray-Ban smart glasses, Facebook product of the future. It's going to be in your hands and on your face pretty soon. Google is banning so-called sugar daddy apps from its Play Store. The policy targets apps that promote dating or sexual arrangements where one participant is expected or implied to provide money, gifts, or financial support to another participant, a.k.a. sugar dating. The ban, which takes effect September 1st, will affect apps like Seeking Arrangements, Sugar Daddy Meet, and Millionaire Dating App.
Why? What's wrong with that? It's two consenting adults.
I guess it's too close to prostitution. They don't want to be connected in any way and maybe be liable for something that happens. They don't want to be the pimp.
Oh, I guess there is that.
I think anybody listening has been in a sugar daddy relationship?
Oh. Yes.
Has anybody on this show been in a sugar daddy relationship?
I've been very close
you
to somebody.
Look back here.
Well, no, I haven't looked back all morning. I'm like, well, maybe I hit on something. Corey, you got somebody taking care of that?
I wish. You know, I've thought about it multiple times. Like, my friends or, like, friends of friends have told me, like, how to start. They'll be like, okay, so what you do, girl, is you go during the day, lunchtime, by yourself at the W.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yes. And you sit.
Sit and sip a drink.
And somebody will come and talk to you, and then...
Exactly. And I've wanted to call off multiple times to try, but... You know?
But you know friends who do this.
Yes.
And they make good money doing it. That's all they do.
Yep, that's all they do.
Wow.
Damn. Here we are working. Stupid.
I know, I could be sitting at the W right now, sipping a Cosmo.
I'm letting somebody come take care of you.
Letting some old man take care of this ass.
Yeah. I'm getting older, tired. I'm for it. I don't feel like going to work anymore.
Yeah, I wonder how long I can sit down there and see if anyone talks to me.
Oh, they'll talk to you.
You think so?
Of course. Of course.
With all these other ladies lined up?
Well, but some guys aren't into ladies.
And
some guys just want to have this young cub.
You think my V-neck would be like a sign? That,
oh, definitely wear that.
With an arrow pointing down to my
absolutely.
My mons.
You absolutely
my
wear
V-neck
that.
My V-neck pointing to my mons area.
Yep.
If you can even borrow Heidi's V-neck,
yeah,
that would
I got
be even
the
better.
I got the low cut.
Hey, we wore V-necks today.
We did twinsies.
Yeah.
I waxed my chest hair though, so sorry, we're not exactly twinsies.
I know. I'm letting my grays pop out the top.
Oh God. Man.
That's called
it's your tuft.
Yeah.
You look like you're evolving into a Wookiee.
My sugar bear tuft. Give me a sugar bear.
Yeah, you can be a little sugar bear.
818-955-2955 if you've got a sugar daddy relationship going on right now. Call if you've been a sugar daddy or a sugar baby. That's what they call the ladies we're taking care of.
Eric was a sugar baby.
I was not.
Guys.
To who?
Used to... PayPal you money and request your underwear.
But I never sent it.
You took the money.
I did take the money, though.
Wait, you took the money and never sent the underwear?
Listen, it's not always sexual.
Have you been reported to the Better Business Bureau? You're not getting a 5-star Google rating on that.
Uh-uh.
I know a lot of guys, though, that did take the money, Heidi, and did provide the services. They're
Why
all...
not just send the underwear?
Well, because, first of all, this person specifically wanted the pair I wore in a film that was part of a costume. I didn't keep that underwear.
Yeah, but he don't know that.
Yeah, but I don't have 1970s whitey tighties. It was a period piece.
He's wearing them right now.
Those are period pieces.
That's extra. Oh, no. Yeah, that would definitely
But there are so many old gay white men in this town right now that are paying very young, very attractive men to live with them, to stay with them.
That happens everywhere.
Not provide sexual services, though. Here, specifically in Hollywood and in New York, I know for a fact that they have these contests to see who can get the youngest, hottest kid.
Like for parties and stuff. Like, who's the hottest guy on my arm?
Exactly. Yep. And they don't have sex with them, but they get a salary. They live in their home. They may take care of a couple of things for them.
Maybe buy them a motorcycle. And had a buddy of mine.
And they don't provide sexual services.
What was he expecting in return?
I don't think anything. I think that it was just like, gave him, let him live with him.
Yeah.
And bought him a motorcycle.
So this is the situation he's talking about.
Yeah. Total sugar baby, sugar daddy situation. Wow. No sex involved.
Sounds like you were a sugar daddy.
To you. You lived with me and I bought you a motorcycle. Well, and then you walked through my house in your underwear with a little boner.
Living with you was payment,
that's
though.
That's all I expected.
Now you have to throw him on the bus and say little boner.
Yeah, it was
a little boner. It's fine. I totally agree.
That's been a one full on.
Living with Frank was payment for working on the show. That was the only thing I got paid was living in his basement.
Mm. No, that's not true.
That's absolutely true.
Because we had jobs at that point.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, it was KABC.
No, it was post-KABC.
Yeah. It wasn't?
I said, I got to go back to Tennessee, you guys. And you said, well, what's the big hurdle? I said, I don't have a place to live. I can't afford my rent.
Yeah, live with me.
Yeah, live with me, and then you work on the show for a few hours a day, and then you can do whatever you want the rest of the time.
That's living, if you can get it. And walk through my house with a little chub every now and then.
Yeah, just, you know.
But that was...
Prayed around your boxers.
I actually did candy. Stuff.
All sleepy-eyed.
I did stuff for that.
Yes, you did.
I'd kick him out when he was accused of being a rapist in Topanga Canyon, but whatever.
That also happened. I was arrested.
Well, out of context, we're like, wait, what? What is that story?
Arrested for being a serial rapist. I was let go. It was a mistaken identity thing. I wasn't.
You rolled the window down.
He was caught. He was caught parked in like a after dark in a park that was closed, and he was making love to a box of Sugar Smacks.
It's because he couldn't get any cell reception at your house, so he had to drive.
So I was talking to somebody, my dad or the girl I was talking to at the time, in the parking lot because I couldn't get cell reception up at your house.
Right.
So then they grabbed me and threw me on top of the car, face first, cuffed me, put me in the back of the cop car, and they called home base and they said, "We got him. We got the serial rapist."
And you're like,
"He's back."
No, seriously.
Because I guess he drove a similar color car as me, and he came back to that park and raped multiple people. I didn't know that. Obviously, I would have gone to Walmart to get my cell reception.
Yeah. Nothing bad ever happens at Walmart.
It's like a bad episode of Larry David. Oh, look, we got Brittany. She has a sugar daddy story. Hey, Brittany.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
So I'm taking it you were a sugar baby?
Yes.
How old were you and how old was the guy?
Which one are we talking about here? I've had many. Prior to that, or prior to now, it was, you know, I would say roughly anywhere from 50s to even 80s.
Did you have multiple sugar daddies at once?
Yes.
And how much were you making probably a month pulling down from these guys?
See, it just kind of depends. You have to be very clear initially that, you know, if you don't want to do anything, you have to be very clear. I could be making more if I did stuff, obviously.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a, you know, just to go meet, have lunch or have dinner, usually a couple $100. And then, you know, some of the nicer ones will take you shopping after lunch, take you shopping after dinner, you know. Then just want to talk. And then I also had one that I've never even met that pays me $200 to just talk to me on the phone, not even video chat, just talk on the phone.
Did you ever $200 an hour. Did you ever do anything sexual with any of these guys?
Sometimes I've been forced to make out.
Forced to make out. Ugh.
Wow.
Like, yeah, where there was no choice. It was like face in my face.
So was the 80-year-old man, is he more the one that just wanted to talk on the phone, or was he the make out?
The older ones are definitely the more calm ones or more just want to talk.
the one that was on the phone was like an older professor, actually, at a famous college. Mm. And really, really, had a secret. He's very secretly high on drugs, and I think he just needed somebody to talk to when he was high.
Brittany, what do you look like if you had to compare yourself to a celebrity?
Actually, a little bit of a mix of Britney Spears and Courtney Love.
Johnny wants to send you $200.
I think he just got another client. Johnny's eyes are rolling. Are you still doing that, Brittany, or you got another career now?
No, I have a career now. I am on seeking arrangement. I kind of geek at it every now and again, and I get tempted. But nah, I try to. Right now, I prefer. I'm a single mom of two. I like to just make my money myself, and it feels dirty sometimes when I do it. So I just like to feel better about myself and do it on my own.
All right. You tried it, and now you just want to feel better. Thank you, Brittany, for calling and letting us in on the inside. But yeah, that seeking arrangements that she mentioned is one of those apps that's going to be banned from the Google Apps Play Store. Seeking arrangements, Sugar Daddy Meet, Millionaire Dating App is going to be taken down effective September 1st. So you won't even have that. Well, I mean, if you have an Apple, I guess.
Yeah, if you have iPhone, it's still on there, just not on Google Play.
They don't want to be a part of it.
Hmm.
Wow. We got CJ, another sugar baby story. Hello, CJ.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You a sugar baby?
I used to be.
To gay men?
No, actually. This is when I lived in Vegas. I dated a stripper who danced at Spearmint Rhino, and she paid all my bills, man. She paid my rent. She paid all my utilities. She took me out to eat every night, dinner and drinks before she'd go to work. Left me her H2 Hummer to drive around while she was working. Gave me walking around money while I was out. She'd get off work, take a cab back to my place, pick up steak and eggs, and then wake me up with a little mouth hug.
My God, dude. Why'd you ever give up that?
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I was 25. She was 29 and didn't understand why I didn't want to marry a 29-year-old stripper with a 16-year-old daughter.
Well, based on what your life was like, I don't understand it either. So what are you doing now?
Time.
Is your life better now? You know, everything's paid for and you're getting mouth hugs every morning with steak and eggs afterwards. You still getting that now?
I work from home. I'm married to a wonderful woman with four amazing kids. She might be listening to the radio, baby. I love you.
Let me see. Well, because
that was his younger days.
Because
Frank.
You called in, CJ, and you're used to people buying food for you. I'm going to be your sugar daddy right now. I'm going to give you a $50 Del Taco gift card.
Nice.
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go. Mouth hug, not an option. So here, go ahead and enjoy that. Stay on hold. We'll hook you up.
My God.
Yeah.
He must have been putting it down real good.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, don't even worry. You be here when I get home. I'll pay all your bills.
All your bills. Take care of it. 25?
Good.
Hell yeah. 25, everybody's good. All right, Eric. You got some news for us.
I do, here at 8:49 in the morning, brought to you by Amtrak. All right, if you're just waking up, I need to inform you there's a lot to talk about the Olympics. USA Gymnastics said today, superstar Simone Biles is competing in the last event final, the balance beam, and it's happening tomorrow night. It's going to be her first competition since she withdrew because of mental health and physical safety reasons. Meanwhile, if you're just catching up on the Olympics, U.S. women's national team was beat by Canada 1-0. A 74th minute goal was the only score of the entire contest, giving Canada the win. We still have a chance to place and get a bronze medal. We're going to take on the loser of Sweden versus Australia. And finally, America's Jade Carey won the gold on floor exercise. So that's a quick little Olympics update for you. If you're big into sports and you love the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard is expected to decline his $36 million player option to become a free agent today. Free agency opens today, and here in L.A., that's the biggest shakeup. Also, do you guys remember that TikTok star that was shot watching the Forever Purge?
Oh, right.
He was on life support.
Yeah.
He's now died.
Oh, man.
So that's both him and his 18-year-old girlfriend, Riley, both now dead from the shooter, Joseph Jimenez. Following his death, the police department said they're working to add an additional charge now of first-degree murder. He's already got the one first-degree murder charge because of Riley Goodrich, who died at the scene. And finally, western states under siege from all these wildfires may face a new threat. Thunderstorms are heading their way. Flash flooding may occur. They say that all the spaces left open now from all the fires, all the dead areas, are now prone to heavy flash flooding when pelted by heavy rainfall. They do say some areas are going to benefit from the rain, but listen to this fun sentence. Where'd it go? It's gone.
That's what fun sentences do. They run all over the place.
I caught you. There you are. They may help douse some fires, but won't provide relief to drought-stricken California.
Oh.
So everybody around us is going to get a bunch of rain. Some might help. Some might get flash flooding. We're getting none of it.
Oh, great.
Wonderful. Amtrak, whether you're craving a breath of fresh mountain air, an exciting new adventure, or just some free babysitting from grandma, Amtrak can get you there. With more than 500 destinations across the country, everything you're missing, just an Amtrak away. And that's your news.
Last week, infomercial king Ron Popeil died at the age of 86. I made the joke that he'd be buried in a pocket casket. But I guess for his last wishes, his body was dehydrated, cooked over a rotisserie, and then diced to pieces in the Chop-O-Matic.
I didn't realize that. He was really into that company.
Yeah, he really was.
Wow.
But wait, there's no more. Oh. You said, is that your joke? I remember that one. That was a good one, Heidi.
Thanks, Frank.
And Tennessee Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill said that if players don't get vaccinated, the NFL will make their lives hell. All unvaccinated players will have to play for the Jets. And Jungle Cruise only made $34 million in theaters over the weekend. It got mixed reviews from critics. Half of them said it was god-awful. The other half said it flat-out sucks. All right, when we come back, it's time for Christian Hand. He's going to break down a song for us, so keep it right here. We're Heidi and Frank.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's the Heidi and Frank Show on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
Nine o'clock on a Monday, what happens? Christian Hand joins us. Hello, Christian.
Hi, guys. I was just ordering my new Apple phone because I got to get off this Google thing because I can't sell mouth hugs.
No, you
need on my Google anymore.
Sugar baby.
It's way too weird. Good Lord. All right. So obviously last week, and I know that I don't know if you guys had a relationship with all of the members of Slipknot, but I know that Clown has been in a few times with you guys, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously last week we lost the great Joey Jordison, the drummer, the original drummer for Slipknot. So I felt that the appropriate thing to do would be to honor one of the most ridiculous drummers. You know, with one of their power ballads. You know, one of the slower songs that you can sort of like have as your wedding first dance. It's Psychosocial. Little information on Joey. Full name actually Nathan Jonas Jordison. Not a Joseph in there to make him to Joey, but I guess Nathan's not really a very metal name, to be honest with you. Born April 26, 1975. He was one of the first three members of the band when they were called the Pale Ones. Obviously, if you don't know anything about Slipknot, they all got numerology names. So he's number one. There is a number zero, but he's number one. In 2016, he revealed that he was suffering from this thing called transverse myelitis, which is where your spinal cord swells.
Oh, God.
And basically brushes against all of the bones and nerves and everything. So he couldn't.
Oh,
yeah, it was
my.
All. So that was, he stopped drumming. And God. Then through therapy, beat it and recovered and went back to playing drums and with a couple of the other bands because he was no longer in Slipknot at that point. And then obviously passed away in his sleep, mercifully, last week. So we're going to do Psychosocial, which is from the 2008 All Hope Is Gone, another uplifting record from the crew in Slipknot. And actually, my buddy Evil Joe is producing the new Slipknot. So I texted him. I was like, yo, man, so sorry to hear about Joey. And he said it was really weird because they were just cutting the vocals for this song called Finale. And everyone in the band is like, what is going on? So our hearts go out to everybody in the band. I mean, when you lose a member, it doesn't matter if they've been there recently or not. When they're one of the founding members, it is a huge loss. Record produced by Dave Fortman, who's on Ugly Kid Joe. He was in actually Ugly Kid Joe. Godsmack, Evanescence, and Mudvayne. So he does a lot of very mellow music. Joey Jordison. I mean, what?
How is that one person?
I mean, and it's a guy I follow on, a big producer I follow on Instagram, whose name is Greg Wells, has done a lot of stuff. He's great, great, great producer. He actually did, I think it was an OTEP record, and the lead singer of OTEP had asked, he was like, I want to, you know, I want the drums to sound like Joey. So they actually just invited him in, and he was originally going to come and do one song, and he ended up staying and doing like six or seven. And what Greg said was stunning about the way that Joey played. He actually played really, really quietly, but it was because he didn't want to, you know, burn through all the calories to be able to play at this speed. If you're smashing away at this speed, you're going to run out of energy very, very. And he has to do a full set of this. Don't forget, like Slipknot don't play two songs and then say thank you very much, good night. Mm-hmm. So he was, and so that was how he controlled it. So if you watch him play, it's actually amazing how small his motions are. Amount of work done. Smashy bashy. This is your verse, your pre-chorus. Double bass drum. Beautiful sounding drums. It's a little crazy during the lead, just a little bit. You know exactly where you are in the song. It's so good. Melody. And this bit. Gunshots. So I'm going to play the coda before we throw the other drums on top of it. So this is the bass of the coda. It's behind him. So that's Joey, you know, because you need more percussion. There's a bunch of stuff that Chris Fain, who's number three, and Clown, who's number six, you know, when I was talking to Joe about getting prepped for the record, he was like, yeah, you know, blah, 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 and then don't forget we didn't mic up all the kegs and everything. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. You have to mic up a bunch of kegs with these guys. So this is the percussion track that's played between Clown and Chris in number three. You can hear some kegs. I'm actually surprised you don't have kegs in your studio. You know, like the morning shows have those, like, yeah. They do all the research.
We used
kegs.
To, and they said we couldn't do it.
Anymore. Yeah. The good old days, Christian.
Yeah.
Man, radio's no fun anymore. All right, so if we get to this. You're in the bridge with the marching bit. Let's put Joey and these guys together. It does this. I mean, this is the thing that Slipknot do. That, and then on the ending, it goes bananas. Does this? We'll give Joey his fill. Oh, first off, you get this bit.
Thank you.
Train section.
Right? It's so good. And the thing that I love the most is that this is also music. You know, like, we've only just begun is also considered music. And then this is also considered music. It blows my mind.
They would be at the family reunion, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
We're the music family.
It's that's the great gift of the, it's all built off the same notes. All right, so on bass, we have Paul Gray. This is one of Paul's recordings. He, of course, unfortunately passed away on May 24th of 2010. And he was number two. Bass tone? Sure. So put that in with Joey, you get this.
Hammering.
With the kegs over the top.
Give me the pre-chorus. Ridiculous to the bridge. And then the ending bit where it went completely bad. Listen to this thing, he does going into the train bit. Let's take a circular saw and just put it on the strings of the bass. Pummeling is pretty much the best description for that.
Relentless.
So just in case you're wondering if there's melody, sure there is. It's a Slipknot song. It has to. So the guitars, we've got Mick Thompson, who's number seven. We've got Jim Root, who's number four. And then there's also some keys, I believe, in this track, which is Craig Jones, number five. Number five. So this is the guitar department of a guitar center from hell. Yeah. We'll be right back. to start your Monday if you think about it, everybody. I really apologize. All right, so to the pre-chorus. Chorus, and then we'll come out of that to the lead. Jim Root. You know, when people talk smack about Slipknot, you know, and you're, they're just like, ah, no, man, you're like, do you understand the level of musicianship that is in this band? This solo is doing like 97 different metal songs in one, including some Dragon Force for those of you in the know. And the drums and everything at the end of this. It's absurd. I mean, it's machine guns. So then we'll get to the train bit at the end. The freight train bit does this, which is this is my favorite part of the whole song. And then Corey Taylor's like, oh, all right, let me think what I can sing over the top of this. We've only just begun. So the song was actually written by Joey and Paul. And then Corey obviously comes in and takes over with the vocal melodies and the lyrics and actually doesn't tell anybody what the song is actually about. Clown went to him and was like, so what's Psychosocial about? And he refuses to tell him. So who knows what messages are being buried inside this. So the lovely dulcet tones of Mr. Corey Taylor. Ooh, yeah. There you go. That's how you begin a song.
I did my time, and I went out. So if you say a fade, it doesn't cut. The soul is not so vibrant. The reckoning, the sickening. Back at Jake's subversion, pseudo-sacrosanct perversion. Go drill your deserts, go dig your graves, then fill your mouth with all the money you will save. Sinking in, getting smaller again, I'm done, it has begun, I'm not the only one.
And the rain will kill us all, we throw ourselves against the wall, but no one else can see the preservation of the martyr in me.
Psychosocial! Psychosocial! Psychosocial!
I'm scared.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to be.
Oh my god.
Psychosocial! Psychosocial!
It's terrifying.
Psychosocial!
Cool, there are cracks in the ruined lane, but where the temple fell, the secrets have gone mad! This is nothing new, but when we killed it all, that was all we had! Who needs another mess we could start over. Just look me in the eyes and say I'm wrong. Now there's only emptiness, but I'm missing something. I think we're done. I'm not the only one. And the rain will kill us all. We throw ourselves against the wall, but no one else can see the preservation of the martyr in me.
All right.
Some lovely harmonies.
The harmonies are, I mean, it's so well executed, man. It's brilliant.
The limits of the day!
For their first dance, the Dickersons.
The limits of the day!
Like, it's ridiculous. People, this is
the limits of the day!
It's a song. This delay of
the limits of the day! Get done, fascist lie! I tried to tell you, but your purple lines are giving out! Can't stop a killing idea if it's something seasoned. Is this what you want? I'm not the only one!
And the rain will kill us all. Against the wall, but no one else can see the preservation of the martyr in me. And the rain will kill us all. We throw ourselves against the wall, but no one else can see the preservation of the martyr in me.
Well, that's a 90-octane way to wake up yourself and get your carpe diem, my friends. You know what I'm saying? So our condolences go out to everybody in the Slipknot camp. I can't imagine what, like, working on a record now has probably reframed a lot of that. So condolences to them, condolences to all of the fans. It's never easy. You know, like, we have attachments to bands in ways that are very, very complicated. So once again, peace to everybody, and rest in peace, Joey and Paul, both of you, man. That's an engine room that we won't be hearing from again. I'm going to go through the song in much greater detail tonight on Instagram at The Session IG Live, so please feel free to join me over there. Follow that. That's The Session IG Live, and Christian James Hand is my regular one. A lot of sneakers in the story, which is one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen the Woodstock documentary, have you seen this thing?
Not yet, no. Oh,
is it good?
It is, because we were, like, in radio at that time, right? So yeah. This was, like, sort of, like, the thing that everybody was... We had no idea how bad it was. Like, just watch... It is, like, Lord of the Flies meets Apocalypse Now. And just complete absence of responsibility by the people in charge. Like one of the dudes who ran the whole thing, actually on film, saying that the women who were at Woodstock kind of have to take part of the responsibility of so many sexual assaults happening because they were walking around half naked.
Oh my God.
That's not an interview from like 20 years ago. It's an interview he shot like last year or the year before. And you're like, bro, how out of touch with them? Like, have you checked it? So definitely give that a listen. And then my buddy Man Feelings, who he was actually West Borland's guitar tech. We're going to do an Instagram live probably in the next week or so where he's going to talk about actually what it was like to be on stage while all of that madness was breaking down. So check out the Woodstock 99 documentary and the Summer of Soul documentary, which is absolutely incredible. If you haven't seen that, Questlove killed it. It's such a beautiful way to look at a documentary and to reframe documentary filmmaking. So check that out. It's really, really good, as is 1971. So there's three really great music documentaries if you're into them. So check those out.
Christian got a text coming in. 323 says, thank you so much, Christian. This means a lot to me. After all, Joey was my idol. That's why I play drums today.
Oh, wow.
Also,
my pleasure, man. He did that. He did that for a lot of kids. A lot of kids were like, that's the dude that started it for me.
Yes, it's better than the tribute Frank gave, which was nothing, you bastard. Well, I knew I couldn't do it like Christian does it, so I was, you know what I'm saying?
Abdicate responsibility.
Stay in my lane.
Yep.
All right, thank you so much, Christian, for coming in. Going to see you again next Monday.
Yep.
Right now, we got to take a break. We're Heidi and Frank.
I want to hear more.
Want to hear more, Heidi and Frank? They're back.
On 95.5 KLOS.
Heidi and Frank show. How do you have a tendency to embarrass yourself?
Between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. every day.
No, I think outside of that time, too, because I saw this a psychological phenomenon. It's called the pratfall effect. It says that if someone finds you attractive, doing something embarrassing makes you more attractive to them. So I'm thinking maybe when you met your wife back in the day, you know, she found you attractive, but then you did something stupid or silly at one of these parties where you said you met her at a party and kind of knew each other. You being you,
me being me,
often embarrassing, made her love you or find you more attractive. You think that's true?
I think she likes my goofiness, yes.
Which is embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not afraid to be goofy or kind of humiliate myself. That I didn't really get that gene. There was no way I was allowed to have that growing up the way I grew up.
There's no sense of talent. As a judge, like you said, you wouldn't be able to judge. You couldn't be a judge on America's Got Talent because there's no sense of what's bad and what's good.
Well, I guess I know what's bad and what's good. Yes, I know bad singing and good singing. I know I sing
you
badly.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. I was making sure. But Eric, did you embarrass yourself after you met your wife? Maybe she found you more attractive afterwards?
Well, if you guys remember, I took my wife on our first date, and I caught her laughing behind my back as I was walking away from her. And I go, what, Dad, do something? And she goes, your pants, they're just so tight. I mean, so tight.
You're wearing women's pants.
I was wearing women's jeans. And I specifically stopped somewhere and changed my pants back at our old office. I went to our old office.
Well, that'd be kind of obvious.
What do you mean?
On your first date, you stopped by our office, went inside and changed pants?
Yeah.
Before he met her.
Yeah, I went on the date.
Like, I want to go in and put good jeans on. Like,
oh, you mean you put on the tight pants for the date?
Yeah.
And I thought you meant the other way around. Like, afterwards, got bigger pants on.
Like, I got
wearing
a date.
Comfy pants all day long, and then I go, you know what? I'm going to change into my hot, sexy pants.
My dating pants.
Yeah, which were women's jeans at the time, size 7. Yeah, I'm an in-between size. It's kind of hard to find stuff that fits me.
Yeah, in the women's section it is. Yeah. You're a guy.
And she laughed her ass off. And I threw them away. I could not ever wear them again.
But you think that, obviously, based off this information, that made you even more attractive?
I think it did. I think me being able to laugh about it and being able to take the punch, because I'm used to that.
Yeah.
I was able to roll it off.
I make you guys more attractive to people. So
every day.
Johnny, you're a complete embarrassment. Did you do anything to make your wife find you more attractive?
You know, I pulled out some magic tricks that were probably a little cheesy.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And that really kind of hook, line, and sinked her, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just like a couple little things and a little jokes that were probably not the greatest, probably very embarrassing if I were to tell them anywhere else.
But did you plan on telling those jokes like that night? Like he put on his sexy pants, you put out your
premeditated
your
magic?
Third base jokes?
No. I was probably trying to be funny, but I just wasn't. But the way that I just came off was a little humorous, but embarrassing humor.
No, I think what's most embarrassing for you, and I learned this, I believe, when we were at Morongo not too long ago. He tried to trick his wife in the very early stages of them dating. She thought he had blue eyes.
Oh, yes.
Because you wear blue contacts.
Some point, he had to be like, because he was like, our babies are going to be, like, they're going to be so cute. They're going to have blue eyes. Like, and he's like, and I got to peel off my contact lenses. But, yeah, in the beginning, like, that's how he lured her in with his beautiful blue eyes.
I don't know, maybe contacts are better now. But back in the day when you were dating your wife, can you kind of see what the color was behind it?
Like did your brown show through?
A little bit. Edge of brown.
A little bit. If you looked real close, yeah, you could definitely tell that they were contacts.
He's close.
But I would sleep with them in and wake up.
Yeah. Hi, Heather. In there.
72 hours. I couldn't even peel them off.
All right. Did you meet your partner in an embarrassing way? Or maybe you did something embarrassing that really sealed the deal? 818-955-2955. What unusual, funny, or humiliating way did you meet your mate? Not so much met him, but you kind of sealed the deal with it. 818-955-2955. You don't know it. You didn't know it till now when I'm telling you about this phenomenon called the pratfall effect. I remember when I before I married my first wife, we were at a bar, and her friend was there. We're all playing pools, kind of like me and my roommate Chad and my future wife and her friend. Kind of a double datey thing was to like going out to strands.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously there was attraction there, but nothing was, you know, never had gone out as a couple by ourselves. So her friend was talking about how she was on the track team. Seems relevant now. And I was like, really, what was your event? I was a sprinter. Like, I bet I could beat you running backwards. She's like, really? Let's go. And so we went outside and onto the street on the sidewalk. And I proceeded to race this chick. I'm running backwards. She's, you know, running forwards. She just had on like no running shoes. She had like her sandals on or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm striding out backwards. I mean, I'm really hauling ass. I mean, the fastest you could possibly run backwards. And I run right into a light pole.
Oh.
Boom. Bounce off that thing because we were racing to the pole. And I nailed it. And I tried to play it off like, I won. I touched the pole first. But it knocked the hell out of me. I think I even like cut my elbow open. I was bleeding, had a hole in my shirt. And my future wife watched me do that. Totally embarrassing. So she thought me, I was attractive. Then I embarrassed myself on the street. Fell in love. And then we got married. She realized, it's not that great.
He's not. What was I thinking? I should have married the pole.
I should have, yeah. The pole had more
potential
than he did.
Potential.
So what did you do? Embarrassing thing to really nail down the person. Jordan, you got something. You seem like a guy that embarrassed yourself.
Yeah, I totally did. So the first time I met my wife was at a mutual friend's birthday party. And this friend lived upstairs in an apartment with carpeted stairs. And they had everybody take their shoes off to go up there. So we're up there partying, and then there's a plan to go to a bar to have more drinks and food and whatever. I'm first one out the door, down the stairs, with my shoes in hand because we're in our socks now. So now I'm leading the pack, and I slip and I fall down the stairs.
Oh, no.
In front of everybody. And like, my wife, I just met her that night. We were up there, like, dancing, like, talking, having a great time.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So
you fell down the stairs.
Fell down the stairs.
And she fell in love.
Totally did.
Wow. Yeah. See, it works. The pratfall effect. Maybe you should plan on doing this. If you really like somebody, you kind of feel there's some electricity there, do something really stupid. Bring it on home. Hello, Brandon.
How you doing?
All right, so what did you do to embarrass yourself that made your lady fall in love with you?
Well, I took her and her best friend to the river for the first time. Didn't know either one of them. And I was making out with both of them at the same time. Oh. And then it took her about a week to get pissed off. And then a month later, we had our first kid together.
Wait, a month later, you had your first kid together. What are you dating, a goldfish?
Later, yeah, she got pregnant. Oh, sorry. She got pregnant a month later, and then 11 months later, we had our first kid together.
So basically, your pratfall, your embarrassing moment, was you made out with her friend at the same time.
Yes, with her standing right next to her. And then
this sounds like a bitch brag to me. Yeah. Oh, my God. She thought I was so silly. I had my tongue in her friend's mouth. Brandon, thank you for calling.
He just wanted to tell that story.
And what a great story it is. I pictured it, too. Two girls at the river.
Just him and those two, yeah, on Sea-Doos.
And my 12-inch hog just flopped out.
Yeah, I couldn't find trunks.
And then I dropped $1,000 cash.
Yeah.
And it was so embarrassing.
Yeah, it was awful. I'm like, and my muscles were so big, they kept getting in the way when I was like trying to hug the girls. I couldn't get my big muscular arm around.
I couldn't find the keys to my yacht.
You know, all the things that are, ugh, what a hassle.
What an embarrassment. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. So I'm kind of, I guess, an idiot, but it netted a 28-year marriage. I was the best man in my best friend's wedding, and she was the matron of honor, and I just met her and looked at her and said, oh, my God, you're beautiful. I said, you wouldn't happen to have hair on your chest, would you? I mean, I was just being a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And she says, I don't know. Why don't you look? And she shows me her boobs.
Wow. What?
That was like in the first like 15 seconds. It was like, are you kidding me? Anyway, yeah, 28 years I was married to that young lady, and she netted me two beautiful children.
Awesome, John. But I think that she pulled off the crazy move to nail you down. I mean, she showed her your boobs in the first 15 seconds. You fell in love.
Completely. Absolutely. 100%. Yes, for sure. But I was blown away. I didn't think there was a woman out there that would do something so bold and, you know, daring. And holy crap, really? This woman just, I happened to tell my friends, I said, hey, man, this lady just showed me her boob.
Wedding's off to a great start.
All right, John. Well, I'm going to send you someplace where ladies show their boobs all the time. Well, you're going to be qualified anyway. I'm going to give you a KLOS swag bag, plus you'll qualify for a road trip to Vegas. You qualify to win a two-night stay in a suite at Sahara Las Vegas.
Hey, I'm there.
Yeah, $100 for gas, $100 food and drink voucher, free cabana rental at the Retro Pool. Might just see some boobies again, John. Mm-hmm. Stay on hold.
I'm guessing when the kids say, so, Dad, how'd you and Mom meet? They just say, oh, at a wedding.
Yeah, I was just at a wedding.
I was best man. She was maid of honor. Yeah.
Great story for the kids up until the real story comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Antonio.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Antonio.
All right, so how'd you embarrass yourself and win somebody over?
Okay, so when my wife and I first met, we decided to meet up at a park. And so she pulls up, I roll up on my motorcycle, trying to look all cool and whatnot. Date goes well. I go to leave, and I'm just so infatuated with her. I about low-sided my bike leaving the parking lot.
Oh, no.
Still to this day, she brings that up. You know, you're so adorable. You almost wrecked your bike because of me.
You were just all, like shaking.
Man, fall in love. You didn't lay it down all the way, did you?
No, I caught it, luckily. And then did that whole checking over my shoulders, like no one saw that, right? Yeah, okay,
I
good.
Think you look even sillier when you catch the bike, as opposed to laying right. it down completely. It's like, you look like a cartoon character trying to save it.
Yeah, especially with 21-inch apes on that thing, yep.
Good stuff, Antonio. Thank you so much for calling the show. Jason embarrassed himself, but got what won over someone's heart. What'd you do, Jason?
All right, so my wife convinced me to go to a wedding with her, and we decided to have a little fun because we were bored with this wedding, and we took an adult toy with us, and she had the toy, you know, with her. I had an apparatus that had the device for the toy.
She had vibrating panties?
More than that. It was more than just outside, it was inside.
Oh, okay.
Oh my!
And then
it was her aunt, and we were probably a couple of bottles of Fireball deep into this wedding, and she was dancing on the dance floor. And I was like, "Hey, you really shouldn't be doing that because this is going to fall out of you, and it's getting really awkward."
Yeah.
Anyways, it fell out in the middle of the floor, and I see it, and I'm like, I go grab it. People see it. I grab the toy. I'm like, honey, we got to go. And we just bolt out the door.
There's but, no hey, porking on the dance
floor.
Best night
ever. Best night ever as a married couple.
Oh.
My God. So she wasn't wearing any underwear?
Well, no.
No. It got a little dress
on. It's a wedding. She has to have a dress on. It's got to look good. You can't have lines.
That's right. I mean, it's a fireball wedding, so, I mean, my God, it's a classy event.
Fireball.
Well, no one knew we had the fireball. We snuck the fireball in. Hey, that's what makes the wedding fun.
Damn.
Yeah, they poured fireball in the champagne flutes for the toast, first toast. Thank you so much, Jason. My God. You ever done that? You ever had, like, your lady wear, like, vibrating panties and then go out for dinner and you got the controls?
I've never done that.
Would you be down? So I think Dr. Sadie's brought in some vibrating panties before, or something, some apparatus that hooks into any panties. Like you just say, like it's like one of them panty shields, but has a vibration tactic.
But see, my personality is I'd forget I have it on, and then it would go, and I would say, honey, we got to go. I think I'm having a stroke.
You think it was
some tingling? I'm
scared. Sat on a bee or something? Oh no, honey, I think it's sat on a bee.
She'd be like, you fool. We planned this, dummy. I forgot. Now I'm all stressed out and anxious. I want to go home.
You're supposed to be enjoying this, honey. Yeah. I think I put my panties on backwards. It's just making me itch now.
That'd be me.
All right. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
So you embarrassed yourself and won somebody's heart. What'd you do?
When I met my wife, I got married in about 3 months, but probably the second month into the relationship, we were up in Humboldt, and I touched an electric horse fence. And it didn't do anything at first, so I was like, oh, no worries, watch, I'll do it again. And it leveled me on my back, and I just scream.
Yeah.
And she probably laughed for about 10 minutes.
And that's when she fell in love.
And we fell in love, and then she left me 2 years later.
Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, yeah, she's in Germany, you know, with my kid.
She's in Germany with your child?
Yeah. I can't ride horses, man. She's a horse girl.
Yeah. Wow. Makes sense.
I guess.
Thanks, Mike.
Alvita saying, but she can't take your kids to the country just because you can't ride a horse. Doesn't work that way.
No, I think that's German rules.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Can't ride a horse, you don't get to keep your children.
They are very hardcore with their equestrians.
Oh, is it already time for news, Eric? Give us our last news it of is. The day.
Hey, little thing, let me light your candle, calls a mama. I'm so hard to handle now. Guess around.
Love hard.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yes.
Do you know a lot about Black Crowes?
I know the lead singer used to be married to Kate Hudson.
Okay, well, maybe.
And they have one son together.
That knowledge might be useful because we're doing something here on the station called Encyclopedia.
Wonder who thought of that.
I can tell you right now if you want me to write it down. Who thought of that?
I don't think you need to.
All right.
But yes, it's in Encyclopedia. So if you know your Black Crowes trivia, call up now. We'll ask you a trivia question. If you get it right, you're getting tickets to see Black Crowes in concert August 19th at the Forum and these limited edition playing cards. If you get it wrong, you can still take the playing cards home, but you don't get the tickets to the show. And you'll be qualified for the chance to win the grand prize, which is a pre-show meet and greet with the freaking band. And VIP side stage viewing. So you got to call up and we'll ask you that trivia question.
Right now?
Yeah.
All right. 818-955-2955. Call up to play Encyclopedia.
I can give you some news until then. 818-955-2955. Encyclopedia. This is brought to you by 6550 Realty Group. They're going to list and sell your home for a flat fee of $6,550. Call 6550 Realty Group, 888-510-6550. Let me roll through a couple of quick stories that we've hit on today. But if you're just waking up, lots going on in the Tokyo Olympics when it comes to America. Simone Biles is back. She is going to be on the balance beam tomorrow night. Also, we lost the Olympic soccer team. The U.S. women's soccer team lost to Canada, 1-0. And finally, America's Jade Carey won a gold medal on the floor exercise. If you're a big Clippers fan, this is going to be huge news for you. Kawhi Leonard is expected to decline his player option to become a free agent today. So he may play for somebody else. I did read that they're going to try really hard to make him happy, keep him with the Clippers. But Kawhi Leonard, free agent as of today. Florida is the new epicenter of COVID-19. Yesterday, they broke a previous record for current hospitalizations set more than a year ago, before vaccines were even available. Wow. They're now leading the nation in per capita hospitalizations for COVID-19. Frank, didn't you say they make up like a third of all of America's new cases?
Yeah, Florida alone, yeah.
My wow. Lord.
And finally, rapper DaBaby is taking the consequences of recent homophobic remarks he made. He was dropped from Lollapalooza at the last minute and Governor's Ball. That news came in today. The Governor's Ball also dropped him because of remarks he made about HIV and AIDS and the LGBTQ+
it ain't good.
Community. Yeah. Oh, we got calls, Frank.
Oh, we do have calls for Encyclopedia. Let's see, who was first one through? It was John. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, here's your question about the Black Crowes.
All right, John. What was the Black Crowes' first band name?
I have no idea.
All right, we still got the Black Crowes playing cards. You're just not qualified to win the tickets to the concert.
That's right. You're not going to the show. You will get those limited edition playing cards. Shake your moneymaker playing cards with the little Black Crowes on them.
Stay on hold, John.
So you guys want to know the answer
what
to
is
that?
The answer to that?
The first band name of the Black Crowes was Mr. Crow's Garden.
I knew that.
And that's in Encyclopedia. Can I give you some rock report?
Of course.
No. I'm going to give you a pop quiz.
Okay.
Oh. Pop quiz, everybody. Here we go.
If it's about Black Crowes, I'm going to nail it. It's not.
Since we're doing quizzes, yeah, from Encyclopedia, this is something different, but I want you to identify the following product by its ingredient list. Water, sugar, dextrose, citric acid, natural flavor, salt, sodium citrate, monopotassium phosphate, modified food starch, red 40, glycerol ester of rosin, and caramel color. What product am I talking about?
A Jolly Rancher.
No. It's Fruit Punch Gatorade. Well, thank God you guys still drink that while not knowing what's in it.
Whoa.
Maybe we could make the vaccine fruit punch flavored, and you'd all take it.
And you'd go, it's healthy, it's electrolytes.
Because none of you knew what the hell was in that, but you love it.
Sure did not.
There you go.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Now, Marcy Weiser just got here. She's running late. So we're going to quickly get through the sorry list so she can unpack and get her headphones on.
Oh, okay, yeah. Ready? It's great.
Let's apologize. Get the hot air.
My old cat, Vinny, baby delivery driver's high jumpers in Chicago.
What? Canadian geologist, jewelry dealers, and the Amish.
Jerry's Deli, pianist, music festivals, and the Palm Springs Playhouse, my future home.
Outback Steakhouse, the 18 dyslexics and geese.
Fred Durst, actors, the deaf, and sugar babies.
Slipknot, NASA's flight director, Matt Damon, and mistaken serial rapist. You really have to listen to the whole show brought to you by your Southern California Toyota dealers. We are Heidi and Frank.
KLOS and KLOS HD1 Los Angeles.
Streaming online at 95.5KLOS.com.
This is Southern California's rock station. 95.5 KLOS.